The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Randy, off the internet.
No, come on, leave me alone. But Sharon, I got stuff to do. I got to see my credit rating, and I got to send an email to Nelson and check out Foley's vacation photos.
You don't have to do all that now. You can do one more thing, and then it's bedtime.
One more thing.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Whoever this person is, he has played World of Warcraft nearly every hour of every day for the past year and a half. Gentlemen, we are dealing with someone here who has absolutely no life.
Paul Perillo.
Mom, tell them. Tell them I'm not fat, I'm just big bone. Tell them all their stories about how everyone in your family was big as a child but then groomed their bodies.
Oh, sweetie, those were all lies. You're just fat.
And Andy. And Andy?
I'm a pretty bad kid.
Really? What's the worst thing you've ever done?
I stole the head off a statue once.
Andy Hart.
Wow, that's pretty hardcore. That's like this one time when I didn't like a kid, so I ground his parents up into chili and fed it to him.
Eric Scalavino.
I'm not going to be confused anymore just because you say I should be. My name is Butter. I'm 8 years old, I'm blood type O, and I'm bi-curious.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
What? Been on your computer all weekend. Shouldn't you go out and socialize with your friends?
I am socializing, Artard. I'm logged on to an MMORPG with people from all over the world and getting XP with my party using TeamSpeak.
I'm not an Artard.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress.
What makes me laugh every time, Fred?
It's an exciting day today because we have visitors. And those visitors are the New
Orleans
Saints.
From another planet.
Here for a couple joint practices before they have their preseason game on Thursday. So it's good. A little, you know, mixing up of what we see out there on a daily basis. And I'm sure the players appreciate it, too, because now they can bang on somebody a different jersey color, right?
Fight somebody else.
Right.
Freddie, you keeping track of the Jets? They played catch-up. They're up to three fights and had to run.
I heard that.
Copycats.
Which, you know, I can understand.
Their melee was better than ours. It spilled over into the crowd and the media.
The media was yesterday's.
Yesterday's? See, now
that's something I could get down with.
I'm out of the loop there.
Picking out the guys I don't like.
There's video of it. You can YouTube it or there's
so
video.
So what happened? Tell me.
Well, it was just a normal fight, but it happened right on the edge of the field.
Joe McKnight ran out of bounds.
He was running out of bounds. And a rookie defensive back was kind of.
Danton Lynn.
Whose dad is the running backs coach.
Yeah, he was kind of tangled up with him, maybe giving a little extra push. And then McKnight threw the ball at him and.
Exploded, and then benches cleared, and it spilled into the media tent or whatever they have over there.
It was like right on the sideline.
So the media wasn't fighting.
No. It was right on the sideline.
They were close to being.
And the media,
trampled.
I guess, is on that sideline. It sounds like kind of a similar that we had at Bryant.
Right.
Where our media tent was right on the sideline.
It looks like
back then, Lawyer Malloy and Ty Law would sit with us before practice and make fun of us.
But they were all tweeting like, "If my recorder's broken, I'm going to be pissed."
Red jersey.
They stepped on my bag.
Hey, Freddie.
Yeah.
I just got some breaking news from upstairs.
Sanchez
breaking
on the ground.
The practice got moved.
Yeah.
To two. All right. Well, Mike just wanted me to tell you.
No, that's good news. In case you're listening on your iPhone and you're on your way to practice today, practice is starting at 2 o'clock today instead of 1:30.
And Coach Belichick will be on the field speaking, he said, not at the podium.
Okay, so that's bigger news for us.
That's the best news that I've heard in a long time.
So I assume that's going to be after practice, right?
Yeah, did it say pre or post practice, Kevin?
I'm asking him right now.
Okay.
So practice is at 2 o'clock today instead of 1:30, and I'm not sure if that means it goes to 4:30 instead of still 4, because it was scheduled from 1:30 to 4.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now it's moving to 2. Does the end time
probably
justify the means?
And it's post practice.
We should
post practice for Bill Belichick.
We weren't
so sorry about that. So Belichick was scheduled on Patriots.com to be live at 1. That obviously you can forget about that.
So are we going to do an extra hour?
No.
Oh, we should. They didn't specifically say why this change is taking place, but it's in some way tied into the services for Andy Reid's son. The information came out last night that Belichick was actually going to attend the services, actually may fly down with Tom Benson on the Saints team private plane or whatever, and the Saints coaches are going. Joe Vitt, I believe, is going. So it's tied in here. I don't know exactly when the services are, how it's on but that's part of what's going on today.
Yeah. So as people, if people didn't know, Andy Reid's oldest son, Garrett, was found dead in his dorm room at their training camp. Was that over the weekend?
Yeah. Yeah. And he apparently was, he was at Lehigh at the training camp, and he was helping out the strength and conditioning staff, I guess. Maybe similar to, you know, there's plenty of sons that are out here on this field that help out and do those things.
And you got to wonder, you know, because of his past, you know, is it a Len Bias type of thing where his heart was weakened or, you know, we don't know. But
he had his issues. His
very sad, you know, so I can understand why Bill Belichick, who, you know, has Andy Reid as a good friend, would want to go. And so that is pushing everything back. So, so again, practice will start at 2 o'clock. We will be here until 1 o'clock. Talking everything Patriots and a little bit of Saints. So guys, you know, what is Paul doing?
I have no idea. He turned his back on us, literally.
I just had to return a text.
Okay.
Sorry.
He's in the corner of the room with his back.
You guys are doing a great job. Did you need
phone.
Me?
It was right. very secretive.
Right. You were going over the logistics of the practice. I didn't think it was something that we needed five people
Adam
for.
Adam Schefter over there with his... In show text.
Well, at least Schefter does
without
it,
the bank account
like right in front of your face while he's talking. Paul had to turn his back on us.
Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Guys, what's on your plate today? Andy, Paul, Eric?
I don't think we've discussed what we're going to do, how we're going to break it up today.
No. Well, I'm intrigued to have the Saints here. You know, the Jimmy Graham matchup. You know, we've seen that Gronk beats this defense. What's Jimmy Graham going to do this defense? You know, we've said, you know, the passing game has looked good for the Patriots at times, and that's bad for the defense. Well, now you have another elite passing game, elite quarterback, similar weapons. You know, it's a little different test for the defense, and everybody wants to know, is Chandler Jones going to get there? Can Hightower play? Well, you take a little step in that direction today.
Yeah, it sounds simplistic, but I think that's it. It's competition. It's a different level of competition, not because the Saints are so good. I think they are a good football team, a very talented one. But just you know they're going against the other team's players who are at their best, or ostensibly at their best anyway. Whereas sometimes in training camp, you never know quite the situation. Is it a scout kind of deal? You know, was someone supposed to get the edge on a particular play? You never know, unless it's like the strict one-on-one battles that we watch. You never know exactly what the scenario is. With another team, I think you can safely assume that teams are at their best and they're giving it their all in on both sides of the ball.
Plus, when you're practicing against the same offense or the same defense every day, you start to recognize tendencies or
guess.
Plays.
Yes.
Yeah, you can guess a little bit better. Yeah. When another team comes in, you haven't really studied as much film as you would during a regular season game, so you get more of a realistic indicator of what the matchup is going to be.
I'm guessing that today's practice will be full pads.
I would imagine.
Now, what about tomorrow's?
Probably not.
So.
You don't think so?
I mean, with the Saints having
maybe
played
shells
on Sunday night, I don't think they're going to have two practices in full pads and then another preseason game in the course of a four-day stretch.
I think shells might be a possibility with shorts tomorrow, but even then, maybe.
Yeah, I think
might
today will be
too
good
much.
Day
yeah,
for people looking for exciting competition.
Yeah, I think you're looking for, like you said, just the matchups.
Right. You know, Jimmy Graham's a guy I want to see after the year he had last year, and just kind of, you know, he and Gronk are the poster child for the outbreak of the tight ends last year. I just want to see him, see what he does on the practice field, see what he catches.
You know, I don't know how much the Saints will, you know, be true to form defensively because, you know, they're known as a team.
They won't be going after ACLs.
Well, no. I mean, but they're known
did
as
Did you
a
hear
team.
they had a bounty on Kevin Cobb the other night? Did you hear?
Is that right?
Yeah. So they knocked him out.
Is it, you know.
I'm simply
did him
stating,
a favor, if you ask
they,
me.
They knocked him out of the game.
Paul's making the point that guys get hurt even without
simply
bounties.
Simply stating a fact. Actually, I wasn't really making a sarcastic point.
Oh, okay.
He doesn't really know how to use sarcasm.
That really?
And he doesn't recognize it.
I don't have a sarcasm meter.
Right.
No, I was simply stating that they knocked him out of the game the other night.
I know
I
they lost
kind
a defensive
of ironic.
Coordinator, but I'm assuming that they're going to stay aggressive. They've been always known as a team that blitzes a lot. And we'll see if they do that today. I don't know.
Because Spagnuolo's not necessarily known as a defensive coordinator who blitzes a lot.
Yeah. So that
Greg Williams was,
right.
But they have a whole different
system.
And they
lost him.
Now.
So I don't know what they'll show today when they go 11 out of 11, but we'll see.
And some of it is requested. I mean, that's why Bill talks about they like this so much. He asks for X, Y, and Z on this play.
Right.
I mean, not on a normal day, you have the script Well, now you have another team that's scripting to your script and you vice versa. And,
you know, and I know Sean Payton is supposed to have any contact with his team, but he could have contact with Bill Belichick. And then Bill Belichick relays what Sean wants to do.
That's what Bill wants to do.
This is sounding more and more like the plot to Inception.
Right.
You have just so many different layers of scripting and play calling.
Right.
And
well, I know they've got the big picture of Sean Payton in their indoor training facility that has his huge photo with "Do Your Job" underneath.
Yeah, I wouldn't think that Payton is going to push the envelope too much in terms of what he can do and who he can speak to.
Even
if he would, I don't see why Bill would get involved.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean,
worry about my own issues.
If I'm Sean Payton, I'm not picking up the phone to call too many NFL coaches right now. I just serve your suspension, stay out of trouble.
Plus, do you really?
But
need
you never
to?
Know.
If you wanted to have an interaction, couldn't you just like tell the Domino's pizza delivery guy to deliver a message?
Sure.
Here's a box of pizza, and when they open it, the back cover is like a script for practice. I mean, I don't think you'd want to involve Bill Belichick.
They've got the pepperoni for the O's, and they've got
the layout on the pizza.
String pizza for the X's.
String pizza?
String cheese, I mean.
Damn it, you missed that one, too.
Darn it. All right. All right.
What is today?
Tuesday.
August 7th.
So we
doesn't it feel like Friday?
Well, I always try to
I don't know what day it
rewind
is.
In my head what we're supposed to talk about. And one of them would be your assessment of Robert Gallery, right?
Wrong again. No, I mean, what can I say? He looked good. Then the other day I turned on the TV. I was watching the in-house channel. And just at that moment I saw
the Vince Wilfork play.
Throw him down like he wasn't even there. I mean, really – I don't think a 6'8 guy is supposed to be able to be thrown like that, but he was.
But that and wiped out everything in your mind that you thought was great.
Yeah, I said to myself, he's cut right there.
He sent me a text, and I'm going to defend him a little bit because, yes, he made the comment earlier in camp, but long before we got any word of him retiring, Fred sent me a text saying he's getting cut.
But if you legitimately thought he was the best offensive lineman in camp, I don't understand how one play can say he's cut.
Because
Dan Copen's got knocked on his can.
Because I admit
Rob Gronkowski had a terrible practice.
Because I admit that what I saw was obviously from a lay perspective, and maybe what he was doing was just routine stuff. He looked like he was handling whoever was up against him. I saw him stone Wilfork once in that same drill, but no one should be thrown down like that. I don't care.
I mean, Wilfork is one of the elite defensive tackles
and I also,
in the game.
Oh, and by the way, I also saw signs of it on that in-stadium practice. He looked a little bit, you know, like he wasn't keeping his feet underneath him. And
so you weren't surprised then?
I was surprised at that level of manhandling.
No, that he decided to retire.
No, and after I saw that, not at all. I think he said I shouldn't be thrown down like that either. And I got to get out of here. So I wasn't. Once I saw that, I wasn't surprised. But I was wrong in my original assessment. Unlike Andy, I can admit that.
Good, Fred.
You know, when it happens, I'll admit it.
Oh, you know, I thought he looked good, but you know, obviously those were probably routine things. But when it came to, you know, really putting the pedal to the metal, he just didn't have it anymore.
He was going against that 5'9 fullback that we signed.
As I said,
that's why he looked good.
You might have wanted to go to a sixth play, I mean, not stop at five.
Yeah. So Gallery's gone. How do you think that? I mean, I looked at him as the super sub, the guy that could play, you know, three out of the five spots, and now he's gone.
Yeah.
You know, so I still am not worried like some people are about the offensive line because everything else, I'm pretty sure we'll. You know, Mankins is going to be back. I'm pretty sure that Waters is going to be back. And so,
are you?
Yeah.
Why?
I just think he's going to work it out.
See, I think this may have improved the chances of him coming back. I think it helps his leverage. And what we talked about heading into camp, maybe Bill just says, I like all these linemen. We don't need you, Brian Waters. So whatever your issue is, stay home. I think Bill probably feels a little less confident losing his super sub backup veteran guy. I think there's a better chance now that Waters, they get this deal done.
Yeah. And if he does, then really we're only worried then about Vollmer in the right tackle spot.
Well, I think we did a good job boiling it down upstairs. We were discussing this and how some people think the offensive line sky is falling, like, oh my God. And if you have two of three at tackle, Solder, Cannon, Vollmer.
Right.
And if you have, three of four at guard, Waters, Mankins, Cope, and Conley, aren't you fine? I mean, don't you feel like I have a starting offensive line?
And I think they like what they see out of some of these other guys, like Wendell.
But I'm not even going there. These guys that have all started
for
this
team. But as we know, you need depth because guys go down.
But they always create depth.
Right.
I'm talking about going into the season. I don't want Darian Weems to be starting to open the season. But I've seen 1,000 times where Darian Weems will come in October, sure, and he's fine.
Yeah.
I want to start the year with what I think are starting caliber players. And if we have two of those three and three of those four, I have it.
And it's entirely possible that they could go in to week one with the exact same offensive line unit minus Matt Light. Right. I mean, I'm talking starters and reserves.
Right.
You could have Solder at left. You could have Mankins at left guard.
Connolly,
possibly Copen at center, Connolly at right guard, Vollmer maybe, or Cannon at right tackle. And then you have Wendell as a backup. You have McDonald maybe.
Donald Thomas.
Donald Thomas. That's essentially who you had last year.
Right.
Just add Matt Light to that equation.
And oh, by the way, you went to the Super Bowl.
And
Brian Waters possibly.
But I think you get to nine offensive linemen without anybody, I don't think, really having a whole lot of issue if any of those guys had to play. I don't know how many teams can say that. And it might sound like that we're being a little bit stubborn, and, you know, far be it from us, to be, especially me, to be stubborn, but I still am not really concerned about this situation, unless you're going to tell
really
me that the three guys that are projected to start, how do we put, like Andy said, you know, like two of them are out, or, you know, they just don't, like, Waters doesn't come back, Vollmer's back doesn't come around. Now you're dealing with seven guys.
Right.
And now injuries are going to become a problem.
Yeah, if this situation is still this situation after the Giants game, going into, you know, the week one, then Paul's right. You have a reason to be a little concerned. I see that. I don't see how that's going to stay the same throughout the next season.
To me, it's even the balance of the season. If they, you know, if let's just say Mankins isn't ready for the opener. I think he will be. But let's just say him and Vollmer can't play in the opener. Well, yeah, I'll be a little concerned for the opener, but not for the 2012 season. Unless you're telling me there's complications, they had to go in and do another procedure, Mankins is going to miss 8 weeks, Vollmer's going to miss 12 weeks. Okay, now they're going to be gone for the balance of the season. That's different. We need to reevaluate. But if they miss a game or two, but they're able to play at their level for the 14 that they play, no concerns whatsoever.
And in the column of things that we know, I mean, Matt Light had an excellent season last year, but... And I'm not saying that Solder's going to be an upgrade coming right out of the gate, but we have seen good things out of Solder. He hasn't been perfect, but we've seen, you know, a lot of aggressiveness. We've seen some good mobility out of him. We always knew he could do that. So, you know, that was another question that people had. Well, what about Solder replacing Light at left tackle? He's going to be fine.
Well, I think he is going to be fine, but I think it's still a question until you go a month or 2 months into the season, and he faces Mario Williams and
but
you know, faces that challenge.
We
weekly.
Haven't seen, like, oh, my God, Solder doesn't look good.
Well,
trouble.
He's had his trouble with Chandler Jones in particular. In the one-on-one drills and even in the teamwork, Jones has gotten the better of him at times.
I don't know the Greg Bedard
standings, but I'm pretty sure that's been a draw for the Baltimore
camp,
in my opinion.
Hope that our first round draft pick does have some success
like
in one-on-one drills.
That these guys are one day doing the exact same thing on a practice field in Hawaii because they're both elite.
Right.
And then Jones goes out every week and beats other lesser tackles.
Right.
And Solder goes out every week and beats other lesser
ends.
Wouldn't
it be much worse? I guess it's better for Solder, but wouldn't it be worse from a team perspective if Solder was stoning Jones on every play?
If he made him look like Cunningham, I would be concerned about
and
Jones.
And I don't think that Jones has owned Solder. I think he's beaten. I agree with Eric. I think he's beaten him a couple of times, and I think Solder is killed Jones a couple of times. And I think that's exactly. I mean, these are the last two first round picks. You know, well, the first round pick in this case with Jones. That's what you're looking for.
Right.
You want two talented players. You don't want one of those dominating the other.
You want some flash out of
this guy. Fred was just willing to, you know, just anoint him.
Right. No problem.
Being
with
fine. I'm just saying he's not perfect out there.
I said I think my exact words were he hasn't been perfect.
No, but then you said there's no problem or no question.
There's no
about
problem there. He's going to be fine.
Well, Matt
Light kind of agree.
Never perfect.
But he was good.
No, I mean, I agree with you that I think he's going to be fine, and we've talked about this because we feel like athletically he's a gifted guy.
Sure.
Strength is still an issue.
But we have to see it before you can just blanket statement say, oh, yeah, he's fine.
I'm more worried about right tackle. Yes, Fred. I'm more worried about Cannon if he plays or Solder if he's Vollmer if he's healthy. I would definitely be more worried about that side. I'm not sold on Cannon at all. I think he's a guard.
I'm not sold on
I think he's
going to
be a starting guard for this team after Waters retires. I'm not in the, oh, he'll be fine at right tackle bandwagon.
Yeah.
And a couple of the backups that you guys mentioned, I think, have played pretty well in camp. And I'm not a huge offensive line guru or anything, but Donald Thomas and Ryan Wendell, I think, have played pretty well in practice. And Wendell appears to me to be sort of getting every opportunity to beat out Copen.
Mm-hmm.
He's been more impressive than Copen for sure. You're right about Weems, by the way, although he's been banged up a little bit. He got hurt on Sunday.
He just seems like a big guy to move.
Physical
people.
Guy that throws dudes around. I like that.
All right. Good OG talk. He mocks us. We talk about linemen.
Why am I
and
mocking
him?
And not only that, but he talks about a guard instead of a tackle.
Right. Maybe we could leave you to talk about the guards, and you can tell us somebody's great when they suck.
I think this is the only place you can get this type of talk, that type of in-depth talk.
I did want to.
That's all I'm saying.
Somebody wrote about Donald Thomas recently. Was it you, Eric?
Yes.
And he said, like, how he's talking to Mankins and
yes.
he wants to be great like him. Well, is he expecting, like, that year eight jump where he's – I mean, the guy's been around forever. You're not going to be a Pro Bowl guard like Mankins. I understand you're working and I understand the sentiment, but you're not taking the Perillo-like year eight jump and suddenly going to be the best guard in football.
I knew it was going to get back to a shot at me.
Well, you people and you're, like
– you people.
You think it licks itself as a puppy for 8 years and it's
you
suddenly
no
going to bark.
You have no idea how to run a nation.
Brandon Spikes, he was – not at practice, or he was at practice, but not participating.
No,
yesterday.
He wasn't there.
Not at practice
not
a, yesterday.
Not there at all.
No. Camp has been the same as his career, just in a small
as
window.
As much of an up and down
on the
camp
field,
as
off
can
the
have.
Field, blowing people up,
microcosm
knocking
of his
Dan
career.
Copen on his can, and then not being out there, and you can't count on it's the same.
And before we start any panic or anything, we don't know why he was not at practice yesterday. It could have been something very minor. Right. Who knows?
Eye appointment.
But that's
could
not
been,
my
could have been anything.
That's not my point.
No,
I know.
Andy, I know that
there,
Andy, I know that wasn't your point.
Yeah.
I'm just saying
my
I don't want
my point is
I don't
his
want
issue
the
is not being out there
him.
Every day and he hasn't been out there every day.
Right.
Same old I don't care what the excuse is whether he went to the store for crackers. He wasn't on the practice field.
I get you.
And one of the things for camp too,
he needs to be out there.
Yes.
You have to keep in mind one of the things
in camp. Without
we got one of those SPFWs without part of the E. No, the E would be he's the middle one.
Okay.
He's the middle linebacker, so that's the E.
Do we have a backup SEC? No.
No.
Is he Big Ten?
No, we have to go
Big Sky.
Big Sky.
Yeah.
He goes SEC.
How about the NESCAC? Any good linebackers there? Amarski's brother?
Yeah. Amarski's brother's a linebacker?
No.
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 He said no. No. He's derisively. Yeah. No.
But the injuries in camp, we got an email about an SPFW, and you know they're starting to pile up. Is this something to be concerned about? Listen, everybody I don't know if there's any real serious injuries among the guys. There have been some guys now that have been missing for several days.
Tracy White,
yeah. Jonathan Finene.
Yeah, by the way, I'm sorry.
This
whole free agent offseason is
kind
of crappy.
Well, he's
Dennard
been out there, though,
one.
At least.
Dennard,
Trevor Scott has fallen off
we
the
haven't
map.
Seen White.
Jonathan
Finene,
who was injured every other year in Cincinnati, is injured kind of in the Spikes-like fashion.
Yeah.
This whole and even Gregory looks like Tavon Wilson nipping at his heels for more playing time.
But they have guys.
Your big free agent signings are looking more like.
My big free agent signings.
Well, you had Trevor Scott in your top five playmakers on the team. He's going to get cut.
He's another one of my guys who I admit he's not showing up.
He's not going to be in the top 35
even on my radar.
On
he's not showing up.
Even
so
on your radar.
You can't blame everything on Oakland. The two guys we got from
yours
Oakland.
Is a little bit more sensitive than everybody else's.
Maybe I can. Maybe
no, you
they
can't.
Just don't pick guys.
They look crappy in New England, too.
So,
except for Moss. He looked pretty good.
Well, he didn't blame Oakland.
No, but the injury thing, I think sometimes people get panicked because all of a sudden it's, you know, well, there's 15 guys out this day, 20 guys out that day. In camp, in general, if there's a guy that's dealing with anything, they're going to sit him out.
Right.
You know, they want it. You know, like, I don't think Dennard, just by appearances, seems to me to be a pretty minor injury. Now, he's been out for 5, 6, 7 days now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know how those hamstrings are.
Right.
Yeah. And we saw with Vereen last year.
You can walk, you can jog, you can even run. It's when you go to that sixth gear
But like Brandon Lloyd missed,
you know, you're
missed
a
day and a half or so of practice.
You have at least a fourth gear, right?
Yeah.
Now, he didn't look, I mean, he's running bombs down the sideline at
this?
Practice. Brandon Lloyd.
Lloyd, yeah.
You know, he had what was deemed by Comcast Sportsnet to be a minor leg injury. But he's out there too. I think that these are kinds of things that I don't think Brandon Lloyd would have missed a game with whatever caused him to miss a practice. In other words,
certainly not the way he's performed the last couple of practices.
We don't know, you know, like Jonathan Finene, he's been out for a while. He might be dealing with something significant. Mm-hmm. I'm not just trying to make a blanket that none of these injuries are serious. Don't worry about them.
Right.
I think you take them all on a case by case basis. But I wouldn't be overly concerned that there are 15 guys out because probably half of them. could be playing. Right. And playing at a reasonably close to 100% level.
Overall, I think the Patriots have been okay in terms of the injury bug this year. But you take a team like the Cowboys.
Have they had a lot? I haven't really
paid attention. Talking about they've had to make adjustments because they have so many injuries.
Well, I mean, we've had Dan Conley playing left tackle. He's not a left tackle. They've made some adjustments out there for this team, too.
Nick McDonald playing tackle.
Nick McDonald was playing tackle yesterday.
Because, you know, Mankins isn't there and Waters isn't there.
But also,
Bulmer isn't there.
To put it in some perspective, we were talking about this up in Paul's office earlier, too. We're not even 2 weeks into camp. We still have four preseason games to play. It's still really, really early.
Real early.
I mean, to us, it seems like we're covering it every day. The practices are a little long sometimes.
It's more than a month away before. Well, no.
We say, like, oh, we haven't seen Fanene in so long. It's in actuality been like 3 or 4 days.
I said to these guys, to me, Bobby Carpenter has already been really impressive, gotten a lot of reps, disappeared, and now getting a lot of reps again. And it's like 10 days. You go this roller coaster where – in your mind, it seems like forever in this whole up and down.
Day 13, I believe.
Yeah,
right?
There's just not.
Bobby Carpenter better than Monty Bison?
Yeah. Already better than Monty Bison.
He would seem to be. I haven't heard anybody
better than
yelling
Chad
at him.
To be honest with you, I can't.
When he came here.
Yeah, probably. I haven't seen him get overpowered. So
I mean,
yeah.
He's not a starter. He's a backup special teamer.
Right.
He's Gary Guyton.
I'll let you know when I see him in a game, and then I'll ask Andy, because Andy's my linebacker guru. And I'm being dead serious with that.
I don't like his tone.
Yeah, it's a tone.
That was a bit of a tonality.
My wide receiver guru?
Okay. Yeah. We'll go with that, Captain Morgan.
All right.
Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline. A lot of emails came in.
Real quick, I want to get positive. Because I ended the last tone on a negative about Scott and Fanene sucking. The good news, the opposite end of that is, if they don't live up to the expectations, like Justin Francis could probably have a similar role as Fanene as a versatile sub player, and he has looked phenomenal.
And he's done a lot of that in college, by the way.
And I think the pass rush, like Chandler Jones, has been better than we expected. So if Scott isn't, okay, Chandler Jones is better than we expected. So there's some give and take going on.
Tavon Wilson.
No, I'm just comparing.
I'm just looking at the whole draft class.
I'm talking about Fanene was counted on. Everybody thought that. I thought it was a good signing. You know, Jarvis Green, Mike Wright, he's going to contribute. Well, maybe it's Justin Francis in that role. You've had a guy step up. Bill always says take advantage of opportunities. Since minicamp, Francis has gotten opportunities. Fanene was hurt in some of that stuff, OTA and minicamp. That's a positive. So it's not a, you know, I don't want to be Mr. Gloom and Doom over here.
And there has been a lot of different examples of that. And I was piggybacking on your thing about the free agents. You know, you said Gregory looks like he has Tavon Wilson nipping at his heels. Well, if that's true, it's good for Tavon Wilson.
Right.
Even something much more minor, a guy who, you know, is probably a real long shot to stick around, but they've had all these problems with the third tight end. Tyler Urban is a rookie free agent that was brought in ostensibly as camp fodder. Just because they needed a body. Well, he's taken advantage a little bit. He hasn't been flashing every single day, but generally when he's been asked to do something, he's been the third tight end in three tight end packages on the goal line, when they're running the ball, and when they're throwing him the ball, he's catching it. So.
Yeah, that's another guy who disappeared.
Who knows?
Schenko.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Inexplicably too, though, because we didn't see him do anything in practice that would.
It started that one day.
Even that
in the day goal
that
line.
He got hurt, he was just standing there. Right. It wasn't like he was being treated.
And he came out for practice in shorts and a T-shirt after that.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden disappeared.
Steven is a Saints fan who is emailing in. He says he has a concern about this week's practice. Anything you guys can do to make me feel better about the practice fields? Has their condition improved? Rumor had it the last time the Saints practiced that Linnell Hamilton's injury was caused by the poor practice field New England has. I think at that time, there may have been storms earlier that messed up the field, but at the same time, I don't think New England would have gone out there and practiced on a bad field either. And he cites three stories from back in 2010 that talked about it. I went into those stories. I think he hurt his knee during the game, the actual preseason game, which was on the field turf. When the practices, just for the Saints fans that are listening, they're actually on grass out behind. So it's on natural grass, and the fields are excellent.
I think they look beautiful, and you walk across them there.
Yeah, like you said, Stephen, the Patriots practice on them, and we can't see any, we don't think, any.
I don't remember the Saints guy blowing out his knee. I do remember there was a Rams wide receiver.
Donnie Avery. Yeah.
Donnie Avery, who blew out his knee on a on a fly pattern down the right sideline,
yeah,
Patriots sideline.
That very well.
Well, maybe we also have new turf yeah. on the Gillette Stadium game field since the Saints were yeah. here.
I know nothing
and I
know about
Reggie Bush hurt himself in that game too, didn't he? But he was okay.
I don't remember.
I do remember having
The grass fields are fine though.
No, the grass fields are fine, but I do remember wondering if there were seams in the turf, and it seemed like guys were having weird falls and cuts and stuff here. But I haven't thought of that recently. I think
they've been playing on it. They replaced it when? Was it 2010? They put the newest version of it in.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I thought it was last year.
Was it last year? Maybe. Yeah. I'm not sure. Anyway, it seems fine.
And it's got all those FIFA certifications. They just played a match on it.
Friendly.
Sorry, whatever.
It was
international friendly. International friendly.
Yeah. So I mean, it's not like this field has some.
Yep.
Dark cloud hanging over.
I know nothing about bad conditions, and I know nothing about that injury in particular. I don't really remember.
I don't remember that either.
Timid Coborg.
I don't know who that guy is.
He says, I'm just emailing with regards to the replacement officials making their first appearance this year. They're actually here at camp.
Yep.
As I was watching the Hall of Fame game two nights ago, I couldn't help but notice multiple missed calls, mainly offsides and false starts. Also, after reading the note in Paul's calls from Monday of Brady attempting to catch the defense with 12 men on the field during practice and the replacement referees not calling it, it seems if the NFL wants to continue to keep its high standard of officiating, the NFL must get this labor issue fixed soon.
Can't believe Paul didn't laugh.
Otherwise, once the regular season begins, there will undoubtedly be many controversial calls all over the field in every game.
Like perhaps, every year.
In every game.
Or perhaps the refs need reps just as much as players do.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sure that's part of it. I mean, these guys are new, and let's face it, the other night, I didn't watch the game the other night against the Hall of Fame game. I'm sure they missed a ton of calls. It was their first, there had to be a high level of anxiety there.
Sure.
On the part of those guys being on that
Brent
stage
in Illinois,
for the first
he'll tell
time.
You how hard it is to be a high school official.
I think Brent was actually one of the refs.
I did make the note of the
it was so bad.
of Brady looking for the call. I didn't say the call was missed. The referee was standing right there and saw Jermaine Cunningham run to the sideline. Now, there's a mess of bodies there. I can't tell you for sure if he hit the sideline before the ball got snapped. But if he didn't, it was like a blade of grass difference. I'm not sure the call was blown. There was a referee right there watching Cunningham run to the side. And we've seen Brady try to do that. We've seen Peyton Manning try to do that and be unsuccessful. And you look at the replay, and it wasn't too many men. The guy had made it off to the side, and they waste it. But you don't get it every time. So I kind of agree with the overall mindset of most people. There's going to be missed calls this year if these guys end up having to officiate for the, and it's going to be blown into such a bigger story than it is because calls are missed every game.
I mean, it's interesting because the referee union issued a statement after the Hall of Fame game that said that they graded the game.
Yeah.
And to no one's surprise, it was terrible.
Hall of Fame game was graded out terribly?
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. The referees union?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Was it the referees or the NFLPA?
No. It wasn't NFLPA. It was NFL.
The refs have their own union.
Whoever's the Pereira is now.
Right. And so.
I mean, to try to strengthen their case.
And let me guess.
Steve, Greg Aiello also conducted an independent survey in which they graded out tremendous across the board.
But anyway, so this referees organization did their grade. They said that there were, just a lot of missed calls, not just in the calls themselves, but the administration of the game was poor. And so, that statement's up on Pro Football Talk. But what I thought was interesting is all the comments. There is no sympathy for these refs. Everybody came to the defense of the replacement refs and not, as far as fans go, and not panicking and saying, you can look at any their statements where you can look at any game and see these types of.
That's kind of how I feel. And I'm not blaming. I know I always attack the refs, but I do go into every game and I automatically, without question, I don't ever think that they blow calls on purpose. I know that sometimes as fans that you think
that would be a scandal if they did.
No, but I think sometimes as fans, you don't
NBA.
Think that Boston fans in particular across the board in all four sports think the referees are out to get them?
Oh, yeah.
All four sports. We think every game is, they don't want us winning anymore. How many times have you heard that over the last 10 years?
Yeah.
You still think the Denver game in the playoffs was a fix?
Well, it was.
Yeah. See? I just think it's incompetence. Like, I think the pass interference on Asante Samuel, I think the guy was on crack. I don't think he had anything on the game.
It was just a bad call.
It was a bad call.
Yeah. And that happens. So we'll see going forward. But one of the comments that I thought was interesting is, well, you know, it's interesting that this referee union is making public their grade of this game. Will they continue to do so when the real refs come and make public their grade?
Yeah, right, because when there are calls during the season that are controversial.
Right.
The Pereira types are the first ones that are like, oh, no, he called it correctly.
You got it right.
Yeah, you got it right.
Yeah, and then he's
practice, little update, by the way, is still two and a half hours.
2 to 4.
No, it says to 4.
Nope.
Bill Belichick available at 4 o'clock, according to my thing.
Right, but it says joint practice 2 to 4:30.
Well,
one of those is a mistake.
They didn't update the 4:30 part.
No, they did. I think it's just wrong. Either that or Bill. Yeah.
He's talking during practice.
It's a mistake in the same email.
Yeah. Player availability is from 4 to 4:30. So it is two different things in the same email.
Yeah. So we can go on the field and interview him while they're practicing.
While they're practicing.
Run
hey,
down
Rob,
the field
you got a minute.
Them.
Rob. Yeah. I mean, practice is, I think, is 2 to 4 based on.
No wonder PR hates us. We're tearing apart their release.
The reason why we're doing it is we're trying to let anybody who happened to be local and is coming know what the situation is.
Who cares? The more time they're here, they can go get a burger at CBS Scene. They can get some ice cream at Baskin Robbins. Well,
that's not there anymore. Now it's a yogurt.
Oh, that place
yogurt
took. They took the place of Baskin Robbins?
I think it did, didn't it?
I thought they were. Because did say across from Five Guys, and that's where Baskin Robbins
is. Right. Yeah, I think it took the place of
Baskin
Robbins.
Is it a self-serve place?
I don't know. Wow. I haven't been up there.
Snap.
Tonality issue.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Steve is in Georgia. Hey, Steve.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, listen, I got a couple of comments and then just one question, really. The comments are, I hope that Waters comes back because I was very pleased with his performance last year.
And we're all in agreement on that.
Yeah, and the other one is that right before the Super Bowl, the Patriots' offensive line was rated number 2 in the league.
By what?
And I think, you know, just when you go on NFL statistics.
Okay.
Yeah, so I got a lot of confidence. I hope that they get that same offensive line back with Waters in there.
Well, you won't have Light either way, so it's a different group.
But like I said earlier, it could be virtually the same group.
Yeah, except for the Pro Bowl left tackle. It's kind of like saying the passing game will be virtually the same with Brian Hoyer running it.
Well, this is the same Pro Bowl left tackle who you've said has diminished the quality of Pro Bowls.
Who I said last year had his best season.
Thanks for the call, Steve.
Midway through the year.
Thanks for starting the fight, Steve.
Had his best season. By far.
Could have been just
not even close.
1 year aberration, though.
He was not a franchise left tackle. But I think Solder has to prove himself to get to whatever level you believe Matt Light was. Never mind get to Jonathan Ogden or Fred's guys.
Dave is in Houston. He says, is it officially time to start worrying about the O-line?
No.
Players are retiring, getting injured, getting tossed around by rookies. I'm starting to believe that what everyone has and is writing about the O-line.
So players have retired? Which players?
Gallery.
Oh, that's players.
That's singular.
He's so big, he counts as two.
Well, retiring.
Mike Florio School of Journalism, and S means something in the language.
No, if you read the sentence, it's actually grammatically correct. He says, players are retiring, getting injured, and getting tossed around by rookies. So that would be
players
most
are
of the players.
Retiring?
No. He's saying that all of those things are happening to players.
Yeah, doesn't matter.
Retiring, getting hurt, that's all categorized under players.
I think it's misleading.
So, wait, it said players are retiring. What else?
Comma. Well,
players are retiring. I can't believe we're dissecting this.
It's what we
did
on
the blackboard.
No. But what was the rest of it?
Players are retiring.
Gallery, yeah.
Getting injured and getting tossed around by rookies.
Now, who's getting tossed around by a rookie?
Oh, I think he's referring to Nate Solder and his troubles with Chandler Jones.
Yeah, I don't think
occasion.
He's gotten tossed around by a rookie.
Media misrepresentation.
Don't think the injuries are, I mean, unless you say that the injuries that they started camp with.
Right.
Otherwise, they've lost their 5th, 6th, and 7th tackle.
Right. So 2/3 of that sentence are incorrect factually.
I mean, in my opinion, I wouldn't say factually. In my opinion, we're not getting guys thrown around by rookies, and we're not losing an inordinate amount of the linemen that have been in camp.
Quick side note, says Dave, I really like Jackie UK. She sounds good, looks good, and seems to have more football knowledge / background than Lindsay. Still haven't forgotten the Valentine's show with Eric Bielow and Lindsay. It was just horrible.
I think she's coming today.
Ho.
Jackie.
She's going to be on the show, too.
That's a bit personal.
I actually was on the Patriots forum on patriots.com today, and there's a little Jackie UK string going on. People love her.
Is it clean?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. People like her. So
while we're talking about good reviews, online forums, we should say Paul and Andy still need your vote over at Comcast Sportsnet New England, CSNNE.com, the Uno Sports Tonight Most Valuable Personality poll.
Oh, yeah?
Still open.
Well,
are you in the finals?
I don't believe,
each bracket?
Yeah, for the brackets. I don't believe it's closed yet. I don't know.
Speaking of that, Colin in Belgium says, so CSNNE guys aren't frauds after all. Who knew? Both of the hosts lose. Here comes all PFW final.
Woo!
I haven't been this excited since the last Bud Bowl or the World Cup.
Bud Bowl.
Hey, Paul.
How's your sarcasm meter going?
Who are you up against?
Jackie McMullen.
And who are you up against?
Chris Gasper.
But seriously, it was really good feeling to not only vote for PFW, but to vote against Felger. That's serendipity, baby. Felger is the crown prince of D-bags. Sorry, Andy. As D-bags go, you just can't hang with Felger. Accept it.
I accept that fact.
It was tough to vote against Jackie McMullen. She's great, the best about basketball in Boston. But I would love to see an all-PFW final. Suck it, CSNNE.
Quick update to the practice schedule.
Yes.
It is 2 to 4:30. Belichick's availability has been moved now to 4:30.
Okay.
And player availability at 4:30. So it will be a half hour longer.
The first email was updated Patriots media. The next one was all caps, updated Patriots media availability. Subject line.
What do we have left?
underlined. Italicized.
We kid because
different
we
color.
PR.
We kid because we love.
We make mistakes too. Paul had undrafted.
And Eddie. Or Edwin, who's
and he didn't
in
know
Vegas,
until a week later when he showed back up.
He's actually just sent us a photo of Bill Belichick and Steve Magnola that was just on NFL
Who's
Network.
Steve Magnola?
Spagnola.
Magnolia tree.
Magnola.
And the picture's from the Garrett Reed funeral.
This morning, I assume.
So, yes, so they are, in fact, there.
Is Belichick properly attired?
I didn't look at the photo. Brian in Essex says, I'm pretty sure Waters is coming back because I think he's more of a class act than to keep the team from moving on and playing games with retirement limbo. So I have a feeling that Waters...
Wait.
There's
an
enormous flaw in that.
Wouldn't he be
sentiment.
Here already if he were
he's
this class act?
I'm not doing that, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not, you know, taking any shots at Brian Waters, but if we're calling him a class act and wouldn't do something like that, he'd be here.
Right. And also his next sentence I have a feeling that Waters is simply doing the same thing he did last year. Last year he wasn't on the roster. They didn't actually sign him until the end of training camp.
Right.
Yeah. He was unsigned.
Yeah. Right before week one.
So it's as far as the Patriots go, it's a completely different thing. Now word is that he did similar things in Kansas City.
Right.
But as
that
far
is
as the
correct.
Patriots go, this has never happened with him before. Skipping all the preseason stuff and maintaining shape on his own, blah, blah, blah. Oh, and by the way, did you see that Andy and Paul are in the finals at CSNNE? Yes, we did. I think they removed the percentages because people were just voting for the person in the lead. And if you already voted and that person was getting destroyed, you could just change your vote to the person who was winning. You still change your vote, but you still don't know who's in the lead. Though I think it's a fair bet that Andy and Paul are crushing the competition, and I think we're beyond conspiracy now since all of the regulars have been eliminated. True. Anyway, my question today is concerning Jake Beckett. I've heard plenty about Hightower and Chandler Jones, but haven't heard much about Jake Beckett. How is he doing? Is he living up to the expectations some of you folks had when he was drafted?
Before we get to that football one, I still think the conspiracy could be in play because CSNNE could be saying, okay, people think we want Felger and Tangway. Let's allow them to lose and then let Paul and Andy lose to Jackie and Gasper.
But
that way it looks like we're being fair.
Yeah, but why would they fix it for those two?
But they don't have a dog in that.
Yeah, if I lose to Gasper, I'm not going to cry.
No, the dog in the fight is they could say, oh, see, we didn't rig anything.
No,
but they don't gain anything.
But there's
from
no
it.
Upside to having McMullen.
Well, they don't get people ripping them for fixing it.
No, but they don't get their guys in the end.
No, but they don't
get
you
couple
two
jags
either.
Just like us.
Oh, so you think that their hatred of these two are so much that they would fix it to have?
I
McMullen
think they might.
Oh, I don't think this
that
hatred. the hatred, they wouldn't have us in the contest.
I think Curran hates us. I think he's jealous.
I think he's jealous of us. There's a difference.
The ratings on our TV show, the voting in this, I think there's some jealousy.
As far as Jake Beckett goes...
And strippers, don't start a fight. Don't tweet that to him right now.
He's right.
He didn't hear it with his own ears. It's too late.
Too late.
He's right on par with my expectations. But he's been somewhat quiet. I think there's been times where he's shown flashes of pass rushing ability that we knew he had from Arkansas. My expectations were probably lower than Andy and Eric's in regard to him. So I don't know how you guys feel about his performance.
Well, he's clearly hurt.
Yeah, he's definitely dealing with something physical.
He missed practices, and then he walks off with Jim Whalen. He's clearly hurt. He's
definitely dealing with something physical.
I won't know what he's not going to start.
Yeah.
He is going to be a full-speed, full-contact sub-rusher, mm-hmm. and you don't get a ton of chance to see
and
that
And that's
so
what
far.
My expectation was him. What I really didn't have him on my radar because he was kind of that one-trick pony. And,
yeah, but that can help.
No, but that's the one
help.
Trick they need the
but
most.
But you're not going to see a lot of him in a game, I don't think.
Well, I disagree because
it's back to Jarvis Green. He may only get X number of snaps, but if he's effective in that role, it's effective.
Yeah, I just didn't have him. I wasn't counting on a lot from him this year.
I was counting on him being a contributor.
Me too.
Whether I that doesn't necessarily mean he has to start every game, but I think in obvious pass rushing roles, that if that's what he does best and that's where they're weakest, that's when he gets his opportunities. And if he gets, you know, 3 out of 7 opportunities he gets to the quarterback, that's good production.
And if Trevor Scott's not going to be on the team and not going to fill that role, because I think he was projected as a Mark Anderson situational rusher, somebody's going to have to do it. And if Finene's not out there, now you're getting thinner at a thin spot.
Yeah.
He's going to have to do something. Somebody's going to have to do something.
Justin in Alaska says, hey, fat head, fat shoulders, and just fat. First, love the new girl. And not to poke her with my Fenway Frank.
With my Fenway Frank.
Wow. She's very down to earth, unlike the previous 5 talking
Careful.
Barbies you
Eric's
had on
Eric's barking
there.
Up that tree. He's getting jealous over here.
So he
likes
and
he
her.
Wasn't involved in the, you know, the introduction. So.
And while she is a product of the college sports media factories out there, she seems to have emerged with some humanity still attached. She doesn't have the lame non-regional fake dialect. She looks like a normal girl and sounds like a fan reporting. It's great. Keep this one, please, so keep Eric away from her.
So do you want just the natural dialect in the speech? Because I can do that. I can turn that on and off. Absolutely. You want me to just go all Everett on
all
you?
Boston?
I could do that.
No, please don't.
To play. You're the new GM of the Patriots. Belichick and Brady have retired. And you've been given the keys by Mr. Kraft's new Russian girlfriend, who we know really runs things.
Oh, excuse
that's
me.
Terrible.
Excuse me.
Questions. What's
I thought
your,
you did show prep.
What's your main
No, move? He read all about the practice fields.
What's
he overlooked that one.
So what's your main move for quarterback? What's your move for head coach? You can't pluck someone under contract or magically convince Breeze to break his contract. So it's hard to know because
who's available?
He's available.
Yeah, when do they retire?
Can I sign him?
Right. Where are we drafting? You know, what head coach doesn't
exactly.
have a job?
Yeah, so you can't even say like, well, Matt Barkley. I think they should do everything they can to get. I mean, you can't just assume you can draft the guy.
Yeah.
Right.
That you're going to be in position. That's a tough one to do.
So that question is just as dumb as your previous statement about Mr. Kraft. Finally, which of the Patriots rosters from the 0-2 season is most likely to have... Well, I can't even say that. Oh, that's terrible. Justin Alaska.
Now we need
really
you to say it.
Really getting fresh.
That was Justin?
Yeah.
That's not...
Robert, I just want to let you know, there were some things in that email he couldn't read, but he chose to read some things.
let's
Carry
see.
On.
Cody writes in, been hearing a lot of great things about camp and some not-so-great things. You know it's bad when you read a report saying how there weren't any fights at practice. But anyway, I read this one report on Bleacher Report about Jones saying how they expect him to start and give us around 10 sacks. Time for the Andy Hart question about guys with 10 sacks. If you had to pick the opening day kick returner, okay, now it's a new statement. If you had to, he didn't start a new paragraph. If you had to pick the opening day
Sounds
kick
like
returner,
app.
Who would you go with?
Right now it's looking like Danny Woodhead, but I wouldn't discount Julian Edelman, who's been getting a lot of opportunities.
Stallworth out of that mix? No.
No.
I saw him
but
returning
he's,
some.
He yeah. gets the he gets the
he's
later
usually
scraps.
Third group.
Yeah.
I would agree with Eric.
Vereen, I wouldn't leave out of it. I mean, Woodhead is the incumbent, but he sucked at it last year, so he may get
but
a chance
reason,
to prove
it
he didn't
seems
suck.
Like they like him.
Well, because I don't know that anybody else is
Reliability.
For what?
To get to the 20.
Right. not to fumble.
No, but I think they're giving
who fumbled?
I think
Slater.
They're giving Edelman every opportunity to win.
He's
that
not
job.
In the mix.
You asked me who fumbled.
No, I'm talking about like the Vereens or
Slater,
Stallworth, or
but,
even Edelman. I mean, has Edelman fumbled?
Yes.
Yeah, I guess he did fumble once. But Woodhead fumbled last year once too in the playoffs. Almost cost you a Super Bowl trip.
Okay.
I think Edelman is being given
every
opportunity to beat out Woodhead for that job because of what he's been able to do on punt returns.
Woodhead sucks.
Plus, that's what I'm wondering about. I haven't seen any indications that he's like a breath away from breaking one. Edelman seems like every punt, he either gets yards or looks like he
makes
missed
a
getting
few guys
it.
Miss on
right.
every play.
He's special.
Yeah, yeah. He also asked, who would you rather have as your fifth
a special
option
niche?
On offense?
Yeah, what?
Who would you rather have as your fifth option on offense? He doesn't tell us what our first four options are.
Brady would be one.
Fred not happy with the last two emailers.
So Gronk, Hernandez, Lloyd, and Welker, can we assume those are the first four options?
Yeah.
I mean, you could play along with them a little bit, Fred, without just getting disgusted.
All right, so you're going to say Gronk, Hernandez, Welker, and Lloyd.
Or his first four options in some order.
So it's Branch, Gaffney, Stallworth you're asking about?
I guess
I guess.
Edelman.
I mean,
Ebert.
Do we throw the running backs into that? I mean,
Vereen.
Sure.
Woodhead. Urban.
Shut
I
up.
Will,
Shanko.
Handing off to Ridley.
I'll throw Ridley in there, yeah. I would like Ridley. I'd like the running game or at least a running back to be a factor.
I'd rather punt than hand off to Ridley.
Oh, my
God.
Jeez!
Wow!
What is that
all about?
We're a passing offense.
Well, I'm assuming he's talking about passing, and I'm going to say Deion Branch because A, I'm loyal to Deion Branch, and B, I haven't seen anything noticeable about any of the other guys that shows me that they're markedly better than him. I feel like Brady has a very good relationship with Branch that I know can work. So I'll say Deion Branch is the fifth.
Who would you rather see as third down back, Woody or Vereen?
Vereen.
And I'll be down for the Broncos game. How about I bring you guys lunch and sit in on a show?
How about it?
That's Cody in Nova Scotia.
Bring it, Code Man.
So,
Code Man? Lame. Wasn't that Step by Step?
Craig says, I'm down here for camp. Can I meet you guys? No.
Suzanne Summers, Patrick.
Yeah. Over my head.
I can actually
Code
say,
Man? He was like the dumb guy who knew karate.
Yeah. Fred, we can actually say no now to this.
Sasha
they
Mitchell.
Moved the
Sasha
media
Mitchell.
Tent, so we don't have to rub elbows with the masses.
James in Brisbane writes in, and by the way, where's lunch?
That's what James said?
No.
Where the F's my lunch?
Kevin's on
Facebook. We could still hear you through our mics.
No, I'm using my talkback.
Jesus.
Okay. Would he just swallow a mic?
James
swallows
a
lot of
things,
but a mic isn't one of them.
Okay, James.
Although it may have been a mic. A Tom, a Toby, a Keith.
James in Brisbane writes in, a long time no email, had a crazy few months, moved out of home. Join Eric in the land of the singles, and I'm looking forward
no
to
sex.
Another go around this season. Still haven't missed a show all off season. Andy, you're the best.
Thank you.
We have the same sense of humor. I keep giggling at the most innocent of phrases. Can't wait for the return
Grow
of
up.
The pregame social as well. It, by the way, it's being renamed Northeastern Today.
No, it isn't.
Okay.
It's not funny. Just because Adam Jones and Paul Prillo often like to chat off the air, we will not allow that to come off the air.
James says he'll be a regular contributor to the pregame social and will
Dunkin'
be
Donuts,
re-signing up for the paper next payday.
I think you're supposed to add in Dunkin'
oh,
Donuts.
Oh, it's the Dunkin' Donuts pregame social now.
They've you know, kind of when we say, presented by Raytheon.
Speaking of Dunkin' Donuts pregame social, what happened to the Oreos?
They're coming.
What okay. Oreos?
The Oreo Donuts.
Oreo
oh,
Donuts.
The best.
There was a request. For
they're
some Oreo
best.
Donuts.
The cream-filled one is the best donut.
So the cream-filled ones?
I never eat a donut again in the rest of my life.
Are the cream-filled ones better than
you're that fat and you don't eat donuts?
I said I might not ever again. I have in the past.
The cream-filled ones are absolutely
You don't think
phenomenal.
I'm losing weight?
Really?
No. Andy loves the cream-filled Kreller.
Yeah.
What an ass.
No, it's a donut.
Mike Reese is reporting that the Wednesday practice will indeed be in shells.
Okay, Mike Reese.
Don't
there
know
we go.
Why.
What a guess.
I don't know how you
what
know,
a guess.
Someone told him that.
I mean, I
but.
Thought it
shell
was
of a guess.
Kind of.
Oh,
Weems
is
to
that
be
reverb
a shell
again?
Of
Let's do it.
Let's
can
see.
You shut your mic off?
Kevin's not...
James
today.
From Brisbane has a game. Assuming that all goes well for the season and Bernard effing Pollard is nowhere near anyone's knees or ankles, are the following numbers reasonable to expect as minimums from the Patriots this year? Just a simple yes or no. Brady, 4,000 yards and 40 TDs.
Yes on yards.
Yes,
4,000
yes
yards.
One,
yes.
No on the other.
No on the other.
Gronk,
I agree.
70 receptions, 1,000 yards and 8 TDs.
Yes.
Yes on all
three.
running backs, 1,750 total yards as a group.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
McCourty, 3 interceptions.
Yeah, I'll say yes.
Give him the benefit of the doubt.
Arrington, 5 interceptions.
No.
I'm going to say no on that one.
I mean, unless he still has that leather magnet in his chest.
He's always in the right place at the right time, so he might get a few gimmies. So I'll say yes.
Not if Wes Welker's lined up across from him.
Paul, you know how playing Word with Friends.
Well.
What is he doing?
I think he's playing Word with Friends.
It's Words with Friends.
Not just
one word with Friends. That's the ghetto version.
Chandler Jones, 5 sacks.
Yes, that's reasonable.
Wait, what was...
Minimum, it's the minimum number, right?
Minimum. Oh, no.
That's about a push then for me.
No, I think he could have more than 5 sacks, but I don't think it's like...
A guaranteed minimum.
Yeah. A guaranteed minimum to mean that guy is likely to be earned. That is not, in my opinion...
Does he need to have 5 sacks for you to say that he had a successful rookie
season? It depends
on
what kind of sacks they are.
No, he could have a successful season without 5 sacks.
Sacks are overrated, you know that.
And it depends when they happen.
Mayo, 5 big plays. interception, fumble, forced to recover, strip sack, fourth down stops.
The first 5 of his career.
I want to know who's making the evaluations. Because if it's Fred, yes, he'll get more than 5.
Patriots team, 12-plus wins, division crown, 1 playoff win.
Yeah.
Yes.
12-plus wins, division crown, 1 playoff win?
Yeah. Yes. Okay, Paul, just as long as you can pay attention between texting.
Yeah, I say yes.
He's got 2 phones out now to text. What the hell is wrong with him?
Double fisting.
Lance J. writes in, what did you think about the Jets fight? I heard at the time it was going on, Tebow stepped away, got on one knee, and prayed for the violence to stop.
Stop the madness! I think he asked Mr. Esiason what he thought.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Eldridge is in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge. Sorry
to
make you wait there.
How y'all doing?
Good.
We're doing
good.
Great.
I got a couple questions for you. Okay.
Randy Moss is on San Francisco.
Oh, you got jokes too. Okay.
Well done, Eldridge.
Eldridge bringing the tood.
Anyway. Quarters to Ravenport report. Defense looks surprisingly talented and got Jones and Hightower as starters. So who's out? Is it Spikes or is it the other defensive back? I mean, other linebackers?
No, from what we've seen, they're going to play with 3 linebackers. So Spikes will be in the middle with Hightower and Mayo left and right.
From last year, who would be out would be Andre Carter, would be the starter that Chandler Jones is replacing.
Right.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
You know, ostensibly.
Assuming he doesn't re-sign at some point in the next month.
And, you know, for the linebackers, it's just, you know, there's only 3 of them. Ninkovich is not really a linebacker anymore. He's more of a defensive end in this, you know, seemingly the scheme that they've been running. So,
sort of that elephant role?
No one's really out.
That was a starter last year.
Right. I mean, Andre Carter is the only one.
Right.
And Brandon Dedrick started some games last year. I mean, they had other guys.
Mark Anderson started some games.
Yeah.
Right. But they're not here. I mean, Anderson's not here.
Right.
All right, and then they got Tevin Wilson as he got him labeled as a tight end killer because he was in Grunt's pocket all during training camp.
who had that?
Ivan Ravenport, the one that's NFL Network.
Eldridge, just FYI, he hasn't been here once.
Ian hasn't been here once.
And he doesn't know the game of football.
When Gronk wants to, he can do whatever he wants out there.
And he has done that every single day of practice with the exception of one day.
When he dropped
a few points.
And it had nothing to do with guys.
It wasn't coverage.
No.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, everything you read from Crap Sheet, read with a grain of salt.
He has not been to one practice this year.
Not meant, by the way, to be anything disrespectful toward Tavon Wilson, who I think has actually been one of the pleasant surprises of camp. I think he's shown up. I think he's getting a lot of quality reps with frontline players. But
has he shown up?
I haven't seen him covering Rob Gronkowski like a blanket. Not even once.
Because I think both those safeties have gotten good reps.
Yeah.
Been out there. But I haven't really said
I have.
Ooh, he's making plays.
He made a few interceptions.
I saw one interception.
I haven't seen him make a ton of plays on the ball, but I've seen him be where he's supposed to be and show it to me. You know, from my
layman's view,
I think he's shown good range as a safety.
All that. I just wanted to see some plays. And the MO of him in college was he didn't make any plays.
That's true.
I agree.
So
we're still saying that about Mayo, though.
He has good range.
I think he has good range.
I think they both do. I think the free safety position has been upgraded immensely just because you have two guys I think you can put out there on a weekly basis who don't suck. I don't know if they're going to be good, but they don't suck.
Okay, what about the cornerback position? Which one?
Devin McCourty at left, Razai Dowling at right, Kyle Arrington in the slot, getting beat like a drum by Wes Welker.
And I haven't seen any of those three look overly impressive, really, for any length of time. They've made individual plays here and there. Dowling made an excellent play yesterday.
I
haven't seen consistently any of those three make a lot of plays.
Yeah, I will say I think maybe McCourty's coverage is a little bit tighter than it was a lot of the time we saw him last year, but he's still letting the receiver make the catch and then trying to make the play afterwards.
Yeah, he's getting burnt.
Well, that's what I've seen.
He's getting burnt initially, and then he's making up the ground.
His guy is getting open very consistently, if you ask me.
Unfortunately, McCourty.
McCourty's.
Oh, yeah. And when it's either Holly or Britt, he gets back in it. When it's Brandon Lloyd, he doesn't.
He doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Well, one more question, and we'll let go. Okay. I understand we had a 6'5 receiver.
What?
Anybody seen him?
Who?
6'5 receiver in the camp. Anybody seen him?
I have not seen the 6'5 receiver.
They cut Matt Rourke a while ago. He was the 6'5 guy.
That was him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Y'all have a good day.
All right.
He loves those big outside guys. Eldridge. I love him. I love Eldridge. He's one of my favorites.
Oh, we got jokes. Too.
Jess writes in about the
clearest thing he's ever said on this show.
Jess says about the guys being thrown around by rookies. He says, I could be wrong, but I thought it was written the other day that Francis pancake Solder in one-on-ones. Solder had to take a lap.
He did, in which we were wondering if he maybe false started and got off balance timing-wise. But yeah, that happened. But again, it happened once. That doesn't mean it's happening.
Yeah, and that's my point.
Devin McCourty got beat often last year. He was getting beaten like a drum. Other corners just get beat once. Revis gets beaten once. That's not the same thing. Those are two very different things.
That's my point. I'm not saying that there's never been a time that Nate Solder's been knocked off his feet.
Right.
Although I even think that's the only time that you could even say that. And the fact that he had to take a lap tells me that he jumped offside. And that tells me that's probably why he ended up off his feet.
Right.
Because he was probably off balance and not ready.
Brady's balls were hitting the ground left and right, but for like 5 minutes. It doesn't mean he's had a bad camp. I think he's had a fine camp. That's another thing we should talk. Tom House was here for a little mechanical tune-up with Tom Brady. But, you know, you
House
have to
call.
Watch the summation of camp and say, this has happened with regular. You know, Brandon Lloyd has gotten down the field and caught the ball well with regularity. I think that's happened with regularity. Maybe
and just to,
so-and-so did
to
it once.
Continue this, yesterday he got down the field, was open, and dropped the ball. That was dropped right into his hands. Looked like he kind of short-armed it, didn't reach it. Again, you could say, Brandon Lloyd's dropping bombs left and right. Well, no. That was like the one time that I can recall that he got open deep and didn't make the catch. Generally, that's been money in the bank throughout
camp. I think you need to trust people like us, Greg Bedard, who are there every day to kind of summarize what you've seen,
but
not get caught up in short stints of practice.
I am not concerned about Nate Solder at left tackle.
Matt, nor is Fred.
Matt and Quincy.
Is he Pro Bowler this year, Fred?
What's that?
Pro Bowler this year?
No, probably not. I mean, I don't know what the competition is really.
I'll tell you this.
No, but the bottom line is, if you're the left tackle on Tom Brady's offense, you have a head start at getting to the Pro Bowl.
True.
And that's how Matt Light got some of his Pro Bowls. That's how Dan Copen got his center trip to. Mm-hmm. So if you think he's as good as you're kind of projecting, then I think he's a Pro Bowl left tackle
this
year.
He's in the running. Yeah. Matt and Quincy, I think the lesson
just convinced him he's a Pro Bowl.
Well, he doesn't take much convincing.
I think my words were he'd be in the running.
Well, everybody's in the running. Matthew Slater's in the running at safety.
Here he goes.
Not really.
Not really.
Matt and Quincy says, I think the lesson of Robert Gallery is that if you don't love playing the game, it doesn't really matter how talented you are. It's going to be very hard to succeed. Gallery was an absolute stud coming out of college, but he never really seemed passionate about it. And maybe when you play in Oakland, that's inevitable. But if you're just going to go through the motions and it's just a job, you probably don't have the intangibles it takes to be great or to even last very long.
Especially at that position. I don't think it's easy to just roll out of bed and bang heads 50 times with Vince Wilfork.
Do you think that was the case with Gallery? And I'm asking because I don't know.
I have no idea.
Do you think he just didn't really love the game?
Right now? Yeah.
No, well, clearly he was having second thoughts in this camp, but I'm talking about his career.
Oh, I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know
about his career.
I
mean,
I don't know him well enough.
I could give you a couple of examples of guys who had excellent careers who I don't think loved the game. Matt Light would be one of them. We're just talking about the same position, offensive line. Matt Light talked at length about how little he cared about football before he got here. And really,
didn't expect to be an NFL player and all that.
Yeah, but he likes it so little he now makes his living analyzing it. Just
over the weekend, we heard Curtis Martin, a former Patriot, talk in great detail about how disappointed he was when he got drafted, and he turned around and said, I don't like football. I hate running, and I was a running back who ran for all these yards, and I don't like football. And it was, he said, it was a comment that his pastor made to him about, you know, sort of the mini Tebow to give Andy another jumping point for the next 10 years. Like, Tebow's the only guy who does this. But Curtis Martin said his pastor told him football can be that platform for you to, you know, address your spirituality and convey that in other ways. And that was the light bulb going off in his head as to what, you know, this is the right thing for me to do.
Well, so, even on a lesser,
he started dating Toni Braxton.
And made, you know, $50 million, and I'm sure he
donated
every penny of it.
He was one of the nicest players I think I've ever interviewed.
Let me tell you something. But you said that, like, was the real deal.
No, I know, because I know that you thought that, and that's why I wanted to get back to your Toni Braxton comment, because you kind of said that as if to say he's a fraud.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, just because you date someone who's famous doesn't make you a fraud.
And he got out of that quick, because he realized she's not the girl for me.
Toxic.
Yeah. But on a lesser level, how many of these players say, you know, I love football? Well, actually, basketball is my first love, but I really like playing football. So many of these receivers and these, they wanted to play basketball, they just weren't good enough. And they, you know, okay, I'm a good athlete, I play football. But more of them like basketball, it seems, than football.
Well, Brandon Lloyd says football players are the best athletes in the world. They can compete at multiple sports at a high level.
What?
That's what Brandon Lloyd said. He said
I saw his comment about that with Usain Bolt and everything. But multiple sports, what?
He said football players can compete at multiple sports at a high level.
What is that?
But you don't think that other sports guys could do that?
I'm just saying what Brandon
Lloyd. No, I'm asking.
You have to ask Brandon Lloyd if he thinks that.
Oh, wow. That's a Belichick-like answer.
Yeah. That was a very weird comment to me. I mean,
they were talking.
Do people have doubts that, like, a guy like LeBron James could play football at a high level?
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, there's elite athletes that I think.
Had you been there,
they run the gamut. I was there. I don't remember hearing him say that. I remember hearing him saying the thing about, I feel every ball is catchable.
Yeah,
this was Bolt-related.
I didn't hear any Usain Bolt stuff. And quite possibly sometimes I end up missing a good quote like that because I hear a question like that.
And you walk away?
And I go to someone else's scrum because I'm not interested in his thoughts on Usain Bolt. But
that's where you get your quote of the week or your quote of the day,
sometimes I miss
though.
Out on sometimes. Something that's valuable. And like him saying that football players are evidently the only ones that can play multiple sports at high levels.
But I don't even know what would lead you to say something like that.
They must have been talking about athletes.
There's no denying football players' athleticism. I think we can all admit that.
But I have no idea if Rob Ninkovich could play three other sports or that another guy on another team couldn't.
Jason,
decathletes would be good.
Jason writes in, who do you think will have a bigger year, Gronkowski or Hernandez? Hernandez missed some time last year, so if he stays healthy this year, do you think he will have a bigger year than Gronk?
What do you mean by bigger? No, I think Hernandez is going to catch 100 passes, but I think Gronk is going to have a huge year still catching 70-something and 10 touchdowns.
Gronk, it's going to be tough for Gronk to have a better year than last year, but he could still have a better year than Hernandez.
Right. Well, I'll give you an example. Who had a better year last year, Welker or Gronk?
Gronk.
But, I mean, it depends what
you base it on. He didn't catch as many passes, but everything else, far exceeded
him. I don't know what you're basing it on. I think they're both going to be productive.
Yeah, I think Hernandez has a chance to catch more passes than Gronkowski this season.
Well, it's pretty clear everybody thinks Gronk had a bigger year than Hernandez last year.
Wasn't debatable.
Yes. He was talking about Welker.
Right, so just the eyeball test. Who do you think is going to have a bigger year this year, Gronk or Hernandez?
Gronkowski.
Gronk.
Probably Gronk.
But I think there's a good chance that Hernandez catches more passes than Gronkowski.
Right.
So some might say Hernandez had a better year. It's kind of one of those things that, like you said, Fred, it could be in the eye of the beholder.
Right. Yeah.
And Hernandez could have the best season he's ever had.
Right.
Gronk could take a step back and
if you look at training camp, certainly Hernandez looks like he's setting himself up for his best year. He looks the way I thought McCourty looked last year in training camp. Like he just gets it. Like it's just all fallen into place for him and it's easy for him now.
To me, he's been the best player on the field, bar none. Most consistent. I haven't seen a day where Brady and Gronk have had days where they weren't good. I haven't had a day where I said except punt returns, but I don't really consider him a punt returner. So.
Yeah, and he also looks like they're really trying to accentuate him. You know, they're moving him around. He's caught passes in the seam on outs, on deep crossing routes. He's been in the backfield. It looks like they really want to feature him in a variety of ways. I think he's going to have a big year. I really do. As long as he stays healthy, I think he'll have a big year. But he had a big year last year, too. I mean, I know that Gronk had a better one, but there's a lot of teams that would have been thrilled to have the season that he had last. You know, what did he end up with? 70-some-odd catches for 900 change? 79 catches it was?
79 catches, 900-something yards, and
12 touchdowns?
No.
Not that many?
I don't think it was that
nine,
many.
Maybe. Eight.
Nine touchdowns? Yeah. You know, and if he caught all the ones that he had a chance to catch, he probably would have been closer than that. You're the one that says that no, all the time.
You wrote that on the web.
No.
You said if he stops getting hurt and catches the balls and cuts down on the drops.
That is incorrect.
That's what you said. I can go print it from you.
Those words were tied to my name. That is correct.
Oh, so the record most accurately associated with you?
Yes, that would be true, because you said that.
Are you pouring soda for Fred? Suck up.
Thank you, Kevin.
What do you got there, Freddie?
What's that?
What do you got there for lunch?
Veal and ziti.
The veal again.
Ever since he said the veal was he's ordered his own.
It tastes better this way than it does in the sandwich. That's all I can tell you. All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Dear business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Transmission?
Root canal.
Central valve?
Towaway zone.
Obedience school. Set. Uh-oh. Oh, dear.
Life is full of unexpected expenses.
Study abroad?
An exterminator?
Sleepaway camp?
Engaged?
He fractured what?
Pay for your mother's flight?
Yeah, why? You got a problem with that?
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Bank of America can help you be ready for them.
Guitar.
Piano.
Tuba lessons.
Twins.
Did what on the new carpet?
Let Bank of America help you build a buffer. Regularly set aside money with automatic transfers from checking to savings. You choose how much money to move and how often.
She made nationals. Great. Where are nationals? Oh.
Automatic transfers to savings. One of the many ways Bank of America can help you stay on budget. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/solutions.
Honey, look, I bought a new vase.
Oops. Nice.
Bank of America N.A. Member of FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
I'll tell you,
I was at the beach on Tuesday, and there were a lot of high school girls there.
So you were lying on your stomach drilling for oil all day?
And I'm the inappropriate one.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
Prescription for a bad back.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. During the break, I was just asking our intern, Darren Hartwell, who is a star receiver for Williams College, in line for the guillotine award. What is it?
No, he's not going to get cut. The Gagliardi Award.
The Gagliardi Award.
Trophy, whatever it is.
So I was asking him if he had picked up anything by watching the receivers in practice.
And that's the D3 Heisman
right.
Trophy.
And he says he has.
Yeah, I've definitely been watching the receivers a lot, you know, vested interest a little bit. I'm really impressed with their footwork, mostly. They all really do a good job breaking down at the top of their routes and getting open, and especially on the sideline, kind of, you know, contorting their body, getting their hands in the right place, and staying in bounds. So that's really impressed me so far.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I just thought that'd be interesting because
yeah.
you're a legit
learning from threat. The best.
So. Good. Lunch today was provided by Paul Patriot, and he says, hey, guys, hope all is well. Have some advice for Paul on LASIK eye surgery since he mentioned it last week. I highly recommend it. I had LASIK done on my eyes about 3 weeks ago, and it is awesome. I went to the most experienced LASIK doc in L.A. and got the custom procedure. It was very quick, painless, and I could see perfectly after a four-hour nap post-surgery. Now I have slightly better than 20/20 vision. On an average, it only takes about 3 minutes per eye, but it varies. Get your free consultation to see if your corneas are thick enough for the procedure. Some people are not good candidates for it if the corneas are too thin. What if you have thin skin? Because Paul wouldn't pass that either. Anyway, I have a suggestion.
That was terrible. What if you host a show and you try to be funny and you're not?
I have a suggestion for a once-a-month contest between Fred and Andy. Pick a quick and simple contest for Fred and Andy to participate in during the show. I would start with a rematch of the push-up contest. Here are some suggestions. Thumb wrestling, darts, non-football trivia, pin the tail on the monkey, sit-ups, or anything else that would pit Fred against Andy and get Fred red-faced and sweating. I just remember how hard I was laughing during the push-ups. At the very least, do a rematch of that, please. As far as the Welker non-reception topic, you do have a good point, so I will just drop the subject. What topic was that?
Oh, sarcasm, right? Drop.
Anyway, Paul. Paul.
Ba-dum-bum.
Paul Patriot, thank you for lunch today.
Thanks, Paul.
Appreciate it.
Even though I didn't get
delicious.
In studio right now is Jackie Britton, aka Jackie UK,
the one all the fans are lusting after, based on the emails.
Yeah, Jackie, why don't you grab Darren the intern's headset? Just the headset. That's
not the rest of it.
Well, maybe later.
Yeah.
I'll gladly take.
Are you
going to
go out
spot.
With Darren?
I
made her uncomfortable right off the bat. Come on, he's turning 21.
What is that supposed to mean?
Birthday present.
Oh my God. What did I warn you about last week?
Yeah.
First of all, stop listening to Eric.
I am.
And Eric, why are you warning
not
her?
Going to talk to you about that on the air?
Oh, will you talk to him about it off the air?
I only talk to people who care enough to talk to me first. Just kidding.
So let's go. Sack
so
up
you're
and ask
saying
around.
There's
you're,
a,
I'm just saying.
So
you're trying
saying
to like,
a chance.
No, you're trying to like set us up.
Well, yes. He's leaving in like a week. We got to move.
Well, time short.
I mean, as far as that goes, I have a feeling that you pretty much have your pick of a lot of people because I my scuttlebutt that I'm hearing is that pretty much all these media guys are like, you know.
I have not experienced that.
Okay, I don't want to be disrespectful, but a lot of these media guys, if you walk in and you're female, they're all over you.
Right.
That's true.
They are,
Darren's an elite athlete.
Right. He could win the Gagliardi Award.
I mean, that could mean that. I mean, I haven't noticed anything like that, so maybe that's just me.
Eric hasn't had any since 8. I mean,
but seriously, though, on Patriots.com, on the forum, there's a Jackie UK. Thread going on.
Does it say Jackie UK?
Yeah.
People
have
actually tweeted me that. Jackie UK. I must say you guys have done better about getting my nickname out there than some of the other guys.
Well, but you're getting really good reviews in all seriousness. People really think you come across natural. wow. relaxed, comfortable. You know, you're giving some good insight, you know, as you get to know the team better and better. So
your well, Hightower thanks. Stuff is phenomenal.
I appreciate shut up. Well, I mean, it's like, you know, reps, you know,
exactly,
you do them
yeah.
every day. And yeah. so, I appreciate that. I didn't
but
know
it's
that
natural. It's not reps. I told you the first day you had yeah. camera presence.
Well, it makes you more, I mean, I know it's made me more and more comfortable the more I've done it, you know,
yeah,
the
right.
more you get familiar with the team and just the personalities here. You know, in this room. And
oh, you'll never get used to this.
Yeah.
And so that's what I mean by that.
Yeah. But. And one user said he predicted that there's no way you'll last more than a year because you'll move on to bigger and better things.
Oh,
but
wow.
I agree.
Great. That's a standard. I'm gonna have to.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess
what could be bigger or better than here, but
I know
yeah.
anything.
Have you been paid yet?
Then
you'll know that there are bigger and better things.
Yeah, I have gotten my first paycheck. That was a good day.
Did you go shopping?
At the Britain
Didn't you say
apartment.
You wanted to hit the outlets or something?
Yeah, I went to the outlet malls on Saturday.
Oh, you went to the Rentham outlets?
And
yeah.
let me tell y'all something.
Y'all.
That was like almost just, it was too much.
Like Disney.
I walked into Banana Republic and I mean, the most I would have gotten is like a couple shirts. I mean, I wasn't going to, you know, spend a whole lot, but walked in, saw the line, walked right back out. No shirt in there was worth waiting in that line.
It was that
so
busy?
It was that busy. And so I left.
Saturday
just,
at a mall. Of course it's
oh,
busy.
You went
I thought
on
that
Saturday.
Was just
you
like
right.
this season.
I went on Saturday, and it was after the first of the month,
yeah,
so I'm sure people just gotten paid.
Go after
checks.
Work sometime during the week. Like, cause I think they're open till 8 or something.
Okay.
Yeah, go after work, and then it's
yeah.
it, you can do, you know, there's
that'd
no
be. I know. I was like, I need to go on just a random Tuesday yeah. at, like, you know, 11.
Yeah, people don't know.
Which I can't
there,
really
there's,
do.
Close to the stadium here, there's what they call the Rentham Outlets, and it's pretty big.
They're really nice,
yeah.
too. They've got the Nike outlet. They've got Banana Republic, yeah. two of the ones I always look for.
They have everything, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if the guys look for Banana Republic, but...
They have.
I'm
I
sure
guess
the
where
girls
I get my
do.
Boxers.
I think men wear Banana Republic, don't they?
I mean, yeah. I just didn't know if
I don't.
Over.
Know
I mean,
90s structure attire, but
like I like going. I need more stuff from Banana Republic, but I will definitely walk into Nike before I walk into Banana. And I
See,
don't.
Guys,
I mean,
she's athletic.
I just.
I
always,
wear Patriots Football Weekly polo shirts every day.
I want to wear. I want to. You know. You see, the girls are wearing like the T-shirts that say training camp. I want to wear that.
You didn't get one?
I think you
No,
could
I got
wear that.
One, but
oh.
I mean, I'm, I don't
Are
know if I'd
allowed?
Be, I don't
yeah,
know if I'd
probably
be able
not.
To wear it on the air,
yeah.
you know.
Not every day, but I would think one day you could wear that. It's at training camp.
On TV?
Yeah.
No.
Have you seen what Eric wore on TV once?
Yeah.
Well, I don't
and,
remember.
And we still
you don't
make,
want to see it.
No, we still make fun of him for it.
I just want to, we need to call her out a little bit here, though.
What, me?
She pretends, oh, I'm just going to stop by any time, maybe talk past.
Where are those
whoa,
cookies?
Where's that box of cookies you said there was going to be? Like, she wasn't even on the air yet, and
I
she was eating that cookie.
Well, I mean, I
because,
didn't want
quote,
anybody else to eat them.
I have a bad back or something.
I do what? I do have a bad back. That's not a joke.
Now, what's that from?
well.
Why is that funny?
Let me just tell you.
Yeah.
In Atlanta, I did CrossFit a lot,
yeah.
like pretty regularly. And when I got here, it took 3 weeks off. Okay. So I finally found a place because I was just, it was driving me crazy that I wasn't really doing anything. So I found this place. First day I go in, I started at a heavier weight than I should have. And
so
I
strained it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think I just pulled it. And then, of course, 2 days later, I, you know, just did my own little workout, which still was maybe too much. And then yesterday I went and I was just like, I need to just not. But just the fact that I haven't worked out in so long, I feel like I've already rested. So I'm like, I don't need to just sit here and not do anything. So I went, but now I think I've taken like ibuprofen, I've been stretching, but
get a massage.
It's just killing me.
Eric would like to know what you wear when you work out.
Nothing.
Whoa, hey now!
Nothing impressive.
She wears nothing.
No, I did not say that. Oh my goodness, I'm not ready for this today.
Nope.
No, baggy t-shirts.
Paul almost just passed out.
Did you, you joined CrossFit up here?
Yeah.
The one up here by the Dunkin' Donuts?
Let me just fan
Why
myself.
Why are you fanning yourself?
Yeah, it's hot in here. It actually is hot in here. When I walked
is.
In, it was
it
really
is.
Hot. Yeah, there's one. I mean, I could jog to it. It's so close to where I live. It's in Plainville, you know. I hear Plainville is like the spot. So you guys.
You should go to the North End Deli.
Everyone, you're the third person I think
Phenomenal.
Who's told me that. Really?
Phenomenal.
I haven't
Not
tried it yet.
Mondays, though,
where
so
I work out is right near you, too. Cocoa
really?
Fit Club.
Okay, yeah.
With a
seen
computer.
That?
I haven't, but it's
a little too girly for her.
No, I mean, I haven't seen it, but I've never, but I think I've heard of it.
Yeah.
Because when I came up here, I was asking around.
Yeah.
So.
Wait a minute. you said you did the CrossFit workout and then your own workout.
Yeah,
can
just
you
because...
go to CrossFit and do your own thing, you mean?
No. No, I just went that, it was like a Sunday, so I just went to the gym and just kind of did my own.
So you joined a regular gym too?
No, there's one at my complex that I went to, and it was just very, I mean, very light. I just needed to do, because it's, I mean, when I'm walking and stuff, it feels better because those muscles loosen up, but then, like, when we're at training camp and we're sitting in those chairs for 2.5 hours, and I stand up for the first time, it gets really stiff. I'm sure you guys don't care about my back. Let's
I was just thinking we probably spent enough time on your back.
Let's move on to something else. But who got those cookies?
They come with
Pat
lunch.
Patriot. No.
Yeah. They
come
every
time we get lunch.
Good. Oh my gosh, so good. I'm glad I had a whole one this
time.
So
we can count on you every Tuesday around this time?
Yeah, probably. I don't really turn down a meal very often.
Did you eat a healthy lunch before you came, or was that it?
I haven't eaten lunch yet. I'm still debating on what to get for lunch, I know. I like going to Qdoba, but no one wants to walk over there with me, so.
Eric will go with you. Darren will go with you. Darren, ladies looking for somebody to walk her to the lunch spot.
You know,
spot.
I wouldn't be too sure Darren likes me all that much. He was mean to me on Twitter this morning.
You know how young boys are. They're mean when they want
you. He was mean to me on Twitter.
So you guys are flirting on Twitter?
He told me that. He told me it was too crowded in here.
It's too what?
He told me it was too crowded in here today and that I probably couldn't come.
Oh.
And then you know what I said? I walked right through the door.
Wow.
Bam.
Took a cookie.
and took his seat.
Right.
I know.
Right. Usurped him.
I mean, I didn't want to say that, but...
Yeah, it is what it is.
You guys made me do it.
All right, well, stick around, Jackie UK. We're going to do some emails, all right?
All right, cool.
Matt is in Northern Ireland. He says, hey, guys, and Eric, great job on these training camp shows. It's really building my anticipation toward preseason and beyond. I'm even more excited about this season as I'll be hitting the Wembley game in October and can't wait to see Tom Brady in action for real. Couple questions burning on my mind. Firstly, do you think the Bills have firmly overtaken the Jets as our main competitor in the AFC East for this season? And if so, how difficult will it be to retain our division title this season? I do think that they're the number two horse in the AFC East race. What do you guys think?
I do too, but I don't think firmly. I don't trust either team, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't, and I don't think either one of them will be much of a threat for the Patriots.
Who has impressed you the most during training camp? And finally, what Patriots game are you most looking forward to watching this season? And who will be our most difficult opponent? F the Jets, keep up the good work.
Houston.
I guess I'd have... You're impressed with Houston?
I think Houston's the best team in the AFC.
No, yeah. which player in training camp?
Well, that's two questions. He said, who would be the toughest opponent? Answer, Houston for Andy.
But I'm also most looking forward to it because I like
Baltimore
when the team is
challenged. Baltimore's a good one, too.
Yeah, I think they're taking a step back.
Yeah, I do, too.
Houston, I think, is probably going to be the other best team in the AFC. So.
Most impressive to you in camp so far? Single player.
Hernandez, that's what I said.
Hernandez.
Hard to argue with Andy's
That's
pick.
A tough one. I might say Chandler Jones only because I think he's doing more than I expected at this point.
Don't point
you
to someone
speak,
else. You
know,
can say
you don't
Hightower.
Just have to point
yeah,
to
no, I
you
mean,
can say
I was,
Hightower.
No, I was going to agree with Chandler
Hightower.
Jones.
Hightower.
Actually,
well, then maybe you should interview Chandler Jones and not Hightower every day.
Brian and I are getting ready to do a debrief later on, and so we're picking two guys each that we're going to watch specifically on Thursday's game. And I picked Chandler Jones because
I
agree
with
you.
And who's the other?
Brandon Lloyd.
Oh, wow.
Just because he hasn't played against
Hightower?
Another team. No, I didn't pick Hightower, okay?
I actually think if you guys are picking four people to legitimately watch, I think Hightower's in the top four.
Yeah, but, I mean, do you think I'm going to say that publicly now? You don't want my Hightower updates every day?
I like your Hightower. I think Hightower.
I'm telling you guys,
a
I like Hightower a lot.
Yeah. I'll tell you. I mean,
did you read my commentary last week? I basically started to date him.
You don't like him as much as Paul wrote in his commentary. I don't know if Paul believes it.
He took a restraining order out against me.
He went all in.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with not being most impressed with Hernandez. I mean, he's just like I said. He's making it look easy. But if you make another category, it's who you're most pleased with. I would say Jones and Hightower.
Jones is my guy.
Yeah.
Because I had doubts. I had serious doubts. I mean, isn't that what we did on Make Your Case last week? Your most pleasant surprise or something?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I just think I had doubts about the he only had 4.5 sacks. He came out early. He was injured last year. I didn't like how he looked when he was running with that brace last year.
Right.
And even the people who loved him compared him to Pierre Paul, who was kind of quiet as a rookie, took a little while to get going. And he looks like he's ready to compete. I don't know if he's going to have, the whole 10-sack question, but he looks like he's ready to compete with good players.
And
right?
I think he's, for a guy who wasn't necessarily known as a pass rusher, has shown a wider array of moves and ability to get after the passer. That, to me, I agree with Andy, that was somewhat of a surprise.
Or even the day he batted down the pass, like just that ability Willie McGinnis had to,
the long
arms. Not getting there, I'm getting up, boom, I bat the – I mean, he looks more – polished or veteran
like NFL ready than I think we thought he would be.
I kind of thought this was going to be a little bit of
a lot of people were saying that. You know, he's the Jason Pierre-Paul, you know, in terms of that kind of athleticism, but it might take him, like JPP, a little extra
time.
You know,
JPP?
So, given that.
But the best player, to me, most impressive, I think Andy has the right pick, and I'll just to take someone different, I'll go Brandon Lloyd, because he's been very impressive as well.
Given, though, Jones's impressiveness so far, why didn't he dominate in the Big East at Syracuse?
Well, remember, he was hurt last year. He had 4.5 sacks in
like five or six games.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that very well could have been his breakout 10 or 11 sack season.
Okay.
Because even when he was out there, he had the knee brace on. He was still probably limited. And, you know, some guys just don't put it together in terms of stats. They're better. You know, Mario Williams was not as good statistically as his physique, athleticism. There was a little bit of a projection there. Even the Syracuse coach, I remember when I did the feature, said, you know, we didn't even realize until I was going back and looking at more film how much he did and how good he was and how good he probably would have been had he come back for a senior season.
Right.
So I think the skills, athleticism, everything was there. It just didn't really show up in the stat sheet.
I'll give you another PFW kind of let's search for the reason to help us out here.
Team sucks.
Yeah. It's a bad team, and he was the focal point of what the other team was trying to stop.
Good point.
Every week. And, you know, maybe sometimes that can be difficult for a kid. As you said, too, only a junior and an injured junior as well.
We're all in on Chandler Jones. Ross from Glasgow writes in.
We actually are, though, which is somewhat rare on this. I'm being serious. Even
not...
for first-round picks
or
guys of that nature, we usually have somebody who's sort of a dissenting voice, and I don't think any of us have really anything. Darren, I'll even look to you in the back corner. Anything bad to say about Chandler Jones? The one fear...
He looked good, that's what he said.
Yeah, that's the one fear I would say, and I've lost that fear as he's battled, was he just seems too nice. He's got that stupid smile on his face all the time, like, is this really a guy that's going to, you know, Richard Seymour, like, kick a nut lineman in the nuts if he has to? That's my only fear.
Reggie White was a nice guy off the field, too. Ross from Glasgow says...
A bigot, or whatever it was.
You think someone can play for Belichick and not have that when they're on the field?
Yeah. I think there's guys that have come through here who've lacked... Your boy has it. Your boy oozes it, so don't worry about your boy. He'll punch somebody in the nuts if he has to.
David Givens was too nice.
Yeah, I think there are guys that have come through here that just lacked... You know, I'm not sure Jermaine
Matthew
Kenning,
Slater's very nice.
Doesn't lack it. Yeah, he's not saying everybody lacks it. I'm saying there are guys who have lacked it, and it kept them from reaching their... I don't think you can be ho-hum and reach your potential. You have to be driven.
Yeah.
And sometimes we confuse a guy with just a smile on his face for just happy to be here.
Yeah.
Well, I'm lactate intolerant. What
are you talking about? A girl gets in the room and you get all awkward and uncomfortable.
Why is that uncomfortable?
How can you tell when he gets all uncomfortable?
I don't even know what you were just referencing. What did you just say?
Lactose intolerant.
Yeah, but I don't know what the joke you were trying to make.
I'm intolerant of those people who lack it. Ross from Glasgow just wanted to give.
I don't know what he's talking about. Still, he explained it.
The explanation shed
now
no
you're
further
just trying not to.
No, you want to know what he's doing. You're just trying to be nice because that's what you're in that phase. At some point, you're telling that
Ross
stupid
from Glasgow thing. Just wanted to give Kyle Love some props, going from being an undrafted rookie free agent to cementing himself as the starting tackle next to Wilfork is impressive. I think we almost take it for granted now. He seems to be having another nice camp. Not only has he rarely missed a practice, he has been a dependable guy that we can count on during game day. Doesn't have Will Fork's skills, but he has become a permanent fixture on the D-line, so much so that if he goes down, I think our D gets worse. As an aside, I just wanted to call out Gary Tanguay.
Yeah.
I know that Paul and Andy occasionally work with him and maybe don't want to comment. But the nonsense that Gary did with naming the snitch is a definition of being a DB. I guess Red Sox he's talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know what the...
I told you yesterday. Oh, I didn't know if he named it. He said he knew it, and then he was taking guesses and saying, nope, not him, nope, not him, nope, not him. Well, just say it. I mean, because sooner or later we're going to piece this all together when I list 24 guys and you say no.
Well, yeah, you can't say no to anyone.
So,
I agree with Kyle Love. I agree with all that he said about Kyle Love.
It's all fun and games till Kyle loses an eye.
I love Kyle Love.
He came back. He's fine.
He's from Georgia, you know.
I did not know.
Wasn't he one of the guys that I was on early? Kyle Love last
okay,
year?
Okay, Fred, sure.
Lord only knows.
Yes or no?
Why last year?
Well, 2 years
when
ago.
When he first came here.
Yeah, 2 years ago.
Yes or no?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
Okay. All I can tell you is this. The last preseason game, he was one of the guys I picked to talk to.
That's right.
As a bubble
guy.
I
do remember that.
And I remember him saying, yeah. I feel like I made this team.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, there was a reason why we talked to him. So I don't know, Fred, I'll give you the credit if you were the one that steered me in that direction. But
take a man by his word. I believe you, Fred.
Thank you, yeah. Jackie UK.
You'll learn there, too.
That's a bad error.
Tyler from Georgia, have you ever heard of a kicker called Robbie Gould?
Oh, gosh. I don't know.
I'll give you that one. That's all you, Fred.
Why?
I picked him out in camp, and he's had a nice NFL career now.
Have you ever heard of a guy, similar initials, Robert Gallery, that this week you anointed the best?
Oh, hey, if I was 100%, I'd be working in scouting for the Patriots. No one is.
They're not 100%.
That's exactly my point. Tyler from Georgia. Have you heard?
Nick, I just got back from practice. I watched 5 plays. Give Gallery a 5-year, $50 million extension. He's phenomenal.
Tyler from Georgia, Vernon Golston. Have you heard from Ken Walter in a while? Of all people, my mom was asking about him emailing in the other day. Just wanted to make sure he was still alive. Keep up the good work. The training camp papers have been great, and I really enjoy the article by the new guy. That would be Darren, the intern.
Oh, should we clap for him? There we go.
Good, Darren.
Well, I think he'd rather you just went out with him rather than clap.
Yeah, a little something for the effort.
Oh, she just, yeah, clap.
Josh
took a shot. We took a shot, rookie.
It might be the new mics that Josh says that you all need to remember, especially Fred, to stay closer to the mic now than you're used to. It sounds like if you're in a can, if you don't stay close.
It also has to do with she's been leaving her mic open. There's still an issue with this Model 210 announcer's console.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I don't like getting too close to this because other people talk in it, and I just...
No, but the problem is when you go away, I think we start to hear you not only on yours but also on hers, and it makes it sound weird.
Oh. Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's still some issues there we're still hammering out.
All right.
Look at his headphones.
What is Kevin doing? He's
looking dumb as ever.
Terry is in D.C. He says, what did you think of Curtis Martin's Hall of Fame induction speech? What do we do? Oh.
Oh, okay. I didn't say anything at that point, I don't think. Oh. Anybody who reads the media guide can see their failings.
He just doubles down.
Sure.
Just doubles down.
It's fact.
All right. But that's the same with every team.
Exactly.
All right. So
then it's nothing to piss, pussyfoot through. It's facts, right?
It's a tonality thing. Could Fred/Paul share any memories of Curtis Martin when he was with the team from 95 to 97? He is probably my all-time favorite player, up there with Troy Brown, and perhaps the only subject that both Patriots and Jets fans can agree completely on, a class act with great character, unflinching honesty, and a hell of a running back. I agree. There's nothing bad you can say about Curtis Martin, period. I mean, this guy was the real deal. On the bus, his face would be in the Bible. And the story that I hear from the veterans is that, I don't know if they still do it, but they don't, you know, during training camp, they'd always shave the rookies' heads. I don't know if they've done it yet.
Yeah, I know the story you're saying.
And
yeah.
That what they do is they barge into the hotel room at night and just do it, willing or unwillingly. They just shave their head. They barged into Curtis Martin, and he's just on the bed reading the Bible. And they were like, we can't do it to this guy. We just can't do it. And they didn't. They let him alone, you know.
Yeah, so, I've heard that story.
Power of God.
He was the real deal.
Can I ask a serious question? Because you brought up he didn't really like it, and then he was convinced that.
Yeah.
How do these religious people, and how do they come to terms with like keeping all their money? Like, couldn't they do good things if they just kept $30,000 a year and gave the other $6 million to charity? Like, how do they? How
does the Lord helps those who help themselves.
Is that what it is?
That's part of it. I mean,
because if you're talking about
you got a family to take care of,
well you don't need $6 million.
But I would also guess that there's a lot of charity involved. I mean, you don't have to give it all away to be a charitable person.
Right.
No, I didn't say all of it, but I mean
there are some factions, some religions that do believe that you should give everything away and live as a pauper.
Well, like, Josh Hamilton.
Well, I want to split the difference. I'm okay that he has a nice car and a nice house, but how much
but
do
I
you
also
need?
Think he's probably, and I think, you know, listen, everybody obviously is different, but I think that he's probably dealing with supporting a lot more people coming from a very, you know, tough background. In his, I don't know if did you guys hear any of his speech? It was a little bit of a strange
speech. I wish I had.
It was a little strange. There were some things in there that, you know, were pretty heavy, I thought, for a Hall of Fame induction speech. But he grew up in a really tough situation. His mother was badly abused by his father. You know, he was pretty young when that happened. And then his grandmother, or his, I think his grandmother, was like brutally murdered, and then his aunt was also brutally murdered in a similar fashion. It was just like a lot of really tough things for a kid to overcome. And that's probably where his faith came from. You know, it's just he had to figure out, you know, some way to deal with that kind of stuff, and that's what he turned to. But I'm not avoiding the question they asked for. I wasn't here when he was here. I've never met Curtis Martin. I've never met him. So,
but you did watch him in the playoffs in '96, and you're sort of a historian on that.
Oh, I mean, in terms of a player, he was phenomenal and far to me outclassed the Corey Dillon. Even though Corey Dillon has that single season rushing record, he was not anywhere near to me the caliber of running back that Curtis Martin was.
Yeah.
In terms of ability, and I'm not just saying that because I didn't like Dillon and I hate and I love Martin. I just thought the ability to do things, Curtis Martin had things that he could do that Corey Dillon never could dream of.
I was just gonna say, I think Curtis Martin's probably my favorite athlete I've ever interviewed because I think he was authentic.
Yeah, I remember his first big game might have been, I don't know if it was preseason or regular season, but he had 100 yards plus. And Parcells comes walking into the locker room. Yeah, one-year wonder, you know, trying to keep him grounded. Yeah. But he never had any problem keeping Curtis Martin.
You know
grounded.
Who that first game was against? It was a 100-yard game.
Cleveland Browns.
He scored the game-winning touchdown, and Parcells said that. Let's not put him in Canton yet.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The head coach on the other side?
Bill Belichick.
Well, there was the story, too, that I wasn't aware of, that his first preseason game, he gave him seven straight carries.
The first seven plays,
and he had to tap out and come over.
Yeah.
It was kind of. Thought that was funny too.
It was. It was.
Imagine if we had a thing like Ridley got the ball the first seven plays Thursday night. Like we would all be like, "What's going on here?"
Crossing our fingers that we still had the ball.
Scored a touchdown for the Patriots in the Super Bowl. Curtis Martin.
Yes, he did, Fred. That is accurate.
You know, so we. You know,
can't argue.
I thought he was
facts.
Talking about Ridley there for a second.
I can't argue with facts.
I'm lucky because I know that wasn't true.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, he did do some things in his brief time with the Patriots.
He was terrific. Yeah. He was terrific. And, you know, I thought it was interesting.
He had 3,000-yard seasons,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that Robert Kraft talked about him to the New York media and went into some detail about how upset he was over that whole poison pill that prevented us from being able to match the restricted free agent offer that New York gave us. That's some of that stuff that they did is now illegal.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so but thought it was interesting the way Mr.
Kraft
talked about
it. I liked how he took credit. We shouldn't have let it get to that. We should have taken care of him before it got
to that
point.
And that was the ultimate problem with that. Nobody killed him for not matching the offer, but everybody was upset that they let it get.
Well, one of the issues that at the time I remember they told me that Martin actually changed representation. Tony Agnone, I think, was his agent.
I want to say Gus Sinceri.
You're right. Yeah, Gus Sinceri, and he switched to him or from him, and the new agent really didn't, you know, the Patriots claim didn't give the Patriots a chance to match or you know, renegotiate.
But you can't let that happen.
No, you can't. let's see. Melvin writes in with
Gallery. How things would be different.
Martin also said if Parcells didn't leave, he never would have left.
Right. But how would things be different?
Well, if Parcells hadn't left, the Jets wouldn't have gone so hard at him.
Yeah. Right. But he would have stayed in New England regardless, he said, if Parcells had stayed.
And I think he also said he wouldn't have gone to New York if Parcells hadn't been there. So if Parcells had just left here and retired.
And retired, they probably wouldn't have had that restricted free agent offer to deal with. He probably just would have stayed here.
And how would it be different?
You don't know.
Maybe they would have won a couple more. Maybe Pete Carroll would have been
a
better
coach.
But
they may have never won these because maybe they would have been more competitive then and Pete Carroll would have been here for 5 years.
Butterfly effect.
Let's just all make the assumption that Pete Carroll would have screwed it up in some way, shape, or form.
Speaking of Pete Carroll, T.O. Show.
Is that
ridiculous? NFC West.
Why would you take
Moss
that on?
Moss and Owens together?
Why would you do that to your team?
Because they need receivers.
They just let Antonio Bryant go. Evidently, he didn't work out.
And Carol's big on that stuff. Like,
try with Mike Williams. Yeah. But
he's big
that
on
one made a little more sense because it was a guy he coached at USC.
But just think of...
Well, they say Owens ran in the 4.4s in his tryout.
Yeah, they always say that.
They do.
I mean, Dante Stallworth says he's 4.19.
They can say whatever they want. The guy wasn't exactly lighting up the World Indoor Football League, was he?
I don't know.
I couldn't tell.
I really didn't follow his stats.
I didn't either. At one point, he did have like 6 touchdowns,
right.
6 catches.
Melvin says, with Gallery retired, would you change your decision about Andre Carter being the most valuable veteran not at camp? I feel that Waters is now a more key player missing.
No.
Our D can still suck with Carter on the field, but we will need a strong O-line to pass.
Who wrote this, Andy?
That's the positive outlook.
Brandon Lloyd won't be able to get downfield if Brady is running for his life.
But I have more confidence in the offensive line based on what they've done in the past than I do in the edge rushers that we have.
That is the answer, Eric.
Well, let me ask you this, though, just to play devil's advocate, because I think we all talked about this last week, and I agree that Andy had the right call on that debate.
Toughest one ever.
With Carter, I mean, do you not have any different feelings in terms of Andre Carter based on what we just talked about glowingly for 15 minutes about Chandler Jones and some
no.
of the other guys?
No? I do.
No,
because you need two defensive ends, not one.
Well, you don't think that
right?
That
Rob Ninkovich can hold up at left defensive end for a full season? No.
Well, what about and no one else you feel any
Trevor Scott
in?
Has been absent.
Yeah.
Jake Beckett
non-factor.
Is clearly a situational guy.
So
Jonathan
Fanene,
if you even think. I think the best case
you
scenario
you think Andre
left
Carter
defensive
is a,
right
is a
now
must
is Brandon.
To return?
Oh, no. I agree with him. Your defense can suck and you go to the Super Bowl.
Defensive end, you were muted.
Yeah, what did he say?
You said tackle. You were saying left defensive tackle.
Defensive end. I think the best case scenario now is Brandon Dedrick.
Yeah,
And then situational guys rotating through.
I don't think Carter. I mean, listen, I think Carter played solid football last year, and if he's back, that makes you better.
Right.
I don't think you can argue that. If he's healthy and back, I think he makes you better. I'm not sure that it's that much of a difference, though.
But I kind of agree
the same thing with the offensive line.
Mike Reese wrote there's no room for Andre Carter now with the way they've opened camp.
He listed these guys
that are going to be there, and one of them's Trevor Scott. I'll kick Trevor Scott out for Andre Carter any day of the week and twice on Sunday.
Yeah, and it's for the same reason someone asked me about Jermaine Cunningham today and asked PFW. I think Jermaine Cunningham will stay, but not necessarily
because I think he has
done anything worth staying for. I just think they're really thin at that spot.
To run a 4-3 defense, you need two defensive ends.
You know, and
they
I think
one who's a rookie that we're actually excited about, and Rob Ninkovich, who is Rob Ninkovich.
I don't have as much fear of Ninkovich as you do.
Yeah, I do. I think he's going to get killed.
Do you think, though, that they're going to that one defensive end will act more like an elephant where I know that's mostly a linebacker spot, but you know, it won't be a traditional 4-3.
I think that
guy will line up in different places.
Well, I think they all will, but to me, they are now a pretty traditional 4-3 football team. I think all teams move guys around and do, but to me, they're as easy right now to say what they've done on the practice field as it's almost ever been.
Because usually they go back and forth.
Right.
There has been no.
The only thing we saw out of the ordinary, and I'm not even sure now when I think back on it if some of it was done on scout took cards. But is Brandon Dedrick taking over and kind of having a heavy, strength-based end who he was on the left, going to the strength and move. Other than that, they've been Ninkovich across the front to Jones, and then when healthy, the SECD of linebackers, 4-3.
Right. Now, to answer your point, we have seen sometimes where Jones or Cunningham has been out in coverage, like on those wheel routes with Vereen a couple of times. So if you want to say that that's the elephant spot and those guys are asked to do, I don't know. I don't know enough about the scheme.
But the Patriots do that as well as anyone, making a guy like that do something he doesn't really want to be doing by putting, you know, five guys on spreading the field. And somebody's got to cover. I mean, you only have so many options.
Right. So the Patriots expect to be forced to do that.
Right. Yeah. By the Saints, by the Packers, by, you know, that's what the NFL has become, these spread passing attacks. So those guys have to be able to do some of that.
Dan's in Virginia, and he says.
I can't say anything because there's a lady in the room.
Eric's always here.
Oh, no. Fred has really turned on you. Ever since she arrived, it's uncomfortable.
I'm used to it now.
Dan's in Virginia. He says the Patriots have at least four guys on offense that have proven to be capable of putting up 1,000 receiving yards in a season, Gronk, Hernandez, Welker, and Lloyd. I'm sure not all of them will do that in 0-12, but...
Or 12.
Because there are only so many yards to go around. But it got me thinking, is there another
team... What does it take to be proven? that you can put up 1,000 yards? Like
to do it.
Oh, well, so Hernandez didn't do it.
And
well, 970.
Well,
Wait a minute. You know, my thing about sacks holds true with 1,000-yard seasons. There are guys who roll out of bed and get 1,000 yards every year. There are guys who have done it once. There's a difference, right?
No.
But oh, I thought yes would be the answer there. There is no difference, apparently.
All of those guys.
Talk into your mic.
All of
He's
those
eating.
Guys
you don't
can
want
do
him
it.
To talk with his mouth.
Right.
Can do it. Yes.
Yeah. I think I would throw Branch into that
Jesse
category,
Jesse Holly
too.
Can do it.
Well, come on.
No, I would, but I mean, if we're going to say
be a feature on Jesse Holly,
if we're going to say can do it, I would throw Branch in there too. I think he had 998 one year.
Actually, went over 1,000 until the play got called back. Then they took him out.
So, but just
they don't care about personal records around here, though.
But they did.
But Hernandez, just as a point of fact, did not get 1,000 yards in either of his two seasons.
970. So
yeah, he was very close, and I would certainly
was he out
agree.
Out any games last year?
Yeah, he always is.
I would absolutely.
So he's a proven 1,000 yard guy. I see what you're saying. Good call.
No, I would absolutely agree that he's capable of getting 1,000 yards.
The All right, clown college.
Anyway,
that is BFW.
This isn't the part that Dan wanted us to argue about, but he says it got him thinking. Is there another team in the NFL that has a group of receiving options with that much potential production?
How about
closest
the Saints?
Thing I can think of would be Green Bay with Jennings, Nelson, Finley, and maybe a young guy like Randall Cobb. Even other great offenses like New Orleans, Houston, and Detroit have just one or two guys with legit 1,000-yard potential. Also, if the Patriots have the best offense in the AFC, which AFC team has the second-best offense? I don't think the runner-up will even be close to New England.
Drew Brees did throw for over 5,000 yards last year.
Yeah. To nobody, apparently.
I mean,
they don't have guys with 1,000-yard potential.
Exactly. Like Jimmy Graham, Henderson.
Marcus Colston, and Lance Moore don't have potential to have 1,000. Now, Jimmy Graham had as many yards as Gronk.
Right.
So we know he can do it. I mean, maybe those other guys have never been over 1,000 yards in their careers. I don't know all the stats off my head. Maybe Brees just spreads it around more than Brady does. So those guys all had 50 catches for 800 yards instead of 70 catches for 1,200.
But
I don't know.
Any of those three, four guys we mentioned are capable of getting 1,000 yards.
Darren Sproles probably, is as dangerous as any of those guys is putting up those kinds of numbers. They also run the ball a lot. Yeah. A lot more than the Patriots or the Packers do. Your boy, by the way, in Green Bay is supposedly poised to have a breakout season. Starks.
Who's my boy? Of course he is.
James Starks.
Who's my boy?
John and South
I have so many. It's hard. I mean, I do attach myself
do.
To a lot of men.
No, only after they have success.
No. I predict their success. You know, that's not like me.
Vernon Golston.
Who everybody loves.
I loved him.
John in South Carolina says, yesterday I tuned into the NFL Live with one of our favorite
also like Darren
ex-offensive
Maven,
linemen. The person on the show actually said the following. Now for the team the Giants beat in the Super Bowls, the Patriots. Was it wrong for me to want Matt Light to throw the desk at her when she said it? I'm getting worried about our offensive line. I know Dante is amazing, but he can only make so much with chicken salad.
He's made a decade worth of chicken salad, and it's been good chicken salad.
Do you think Willow Tree?
Willow Tree.
Yeah. Do you think we have enough quality offensive linemen to make it through the season?
He could if he did commercials.
With our new linebackers, do we still have the people are just listening to.
To be fair, Fred,
uninformed but this analysis is, of this offensive line.
This is what everybody's talking about, though. To be fair, that they're not saying anything differently than what everybody else is.
It's the thing we joked about. You the top five concerns or whatever, and it was like left tackle, left guard, whatever.
Right. That was that was in the Herald.
Yeah.
Top five concerns right now were each of the five offensive blind spots.
Re-goddamn ridiculous.
I just listen. Like I said, if a couple of those guys that are out right now, out of the three guys that are projected starters, Mankins, Vollmer, Waters, if two of those three don't end up playing the majority of the schedule, I will reevaluate and say, I have some concerns about this offensive line. I'm operating under the assumption that those guys are going to be a big part of this offensive line in 12.
Thank you, Paul.
What has a better chance of happening? The offensive line being really bad or the secondary being really good?
Better chance of happening.
That the offensive line is bad,
really bad.
Or
secondary
is really
good? I have
good?
To agree with that.
Really?
Sorry to be all negative on you, Freddie, but I kind of agree.
No,
secondary stinks.
I think there's a better chance the secondary is better.
You weren't here.
Well, that wasn't the question. I think they're going to be better than last year, but question was, will they be really good?
Really good.
No, as opposed to the offensive line.
You asked what
really
the better
bad.
Chance was.
Right.
The chance is that two or three of those guys don't come back and it's a disaster. That's a better chance than, you know, those guys that are giving up passes.
That's a tough one. That's
a four even their back and Solder and Cannon suck and that just blows the whole lineup.
But what's the better chance of happening?
That.
Okay.
I don't have any faith in the secondary.
Okay, that's my question.
I've just never seen this offensive line be really bad, so I have a hard time saying that there's a better chance that they'll be really bad.
Have you ever seen the secondary be really good since all the really good players left?
No. No.
You know, by that I mean Ty Law, Rodney Harrison, Samuel.
The answer is no, but I have seen them win a Super Bowl with a worse secondary.
But that's not the question. Have you seen them play really well? That was what Fred posed. Do they play great or does the offensive line play bad? I've seen them go to the Super Bowl with so-so lines too.
Yeah. Russ Hochstein.
Yeah. Tom Ashworth.
Yeah. So it's major.
It's a tough one. That's a good one.
Nathan says, last year going into the season, I didn't have any concern with the secondary because McCurdy was coming off a Pro Bowl year. Lee Bodden was healthy, and we picked a corner with a near first-round pick, and our secondary was disastrous. This year, we are likely starting McCurdy, who nearly broke the record on total yards given up, and our decent corner, Razai, is likely to be hurt after the first half of the season, and Sterling Moore is a yardage whore. What can we do to patch up our secondary?
What's a yardage whore?
I guess a guy that gives up a lot. I don't know.
What?
Never heard that term. Never heard of
Billy Bell. I'm not too sure on that one either.
Yeah. Anyway, what can we do to patch up our secondary? McCurdy continues to decline.
Say his name.
When
right.
do you think he'll get cut?
McCurdy.
He will not be cut this year. He could be benched. No. He will not be cut.
Yeah, he won't be cut this year.
He will not be a captain either.
I don't think he's going anywhere. For a while.
Even if he's as bad this year as he was last year, you don't think you could get cut next year in camp?
Well, I'll reevaluate next year when I see who they bring
in. Holy crap, he's reevaluating everything in like 10 months.
Next year
when they bring in Fred.
Here's my point. Who is, you know, potentially, because we don't know, obviously, who potentially could step into the starting lineup and do better?
You.
All right, can we get a
I thought serious? He was that bad last year, like he didn't deserve to be on the field at times.
Yeah, but in favor
so
of
next
who?
In line. Yeah, but next in line. Next in line. I don't care who. Give me
so
the
Kyle
name.
Arrington. But literally, Kyle Arrington over.
Literally, I don't care
back,
who.
Next in line. I think he was that bad at times last year.
Okay, I think he was bad and really really bad. I just don't think there was
Sterling Moore, the yardage whore.
Yeah, I'm not comfortable with him out there every play.
I'm not thinking
that's going to be better than McCourty.
Or only live
the guys
off a
that
good
were here last year,
so long.
I mean, Antoine Molden and the like that were here. I didn't want them out there instead of McCourty, despite the fact that I agree with Andy. I can't argue with him. I agree that he was as bad. He was bad. He was out and out bad all season long. And I don't really think, contrary to some other people, I don't think that it got better later in the year when he played safety.
He transitioned to safety. Now he's transitioning back.
I just think it was a bad, bad season. I just don't think that they have guys that I would feel
Dennard
really good about.
Well, we don't know.
And that's why I said I'd have to reevaluate
but
next year.
But the devil
see who they
I
have.
Know is worse than the devil I don't.
Well, that
right
just,
now.
But you're just making a change, not because you think the guys behind him is better.
Because a change needs to be made.
All you're saying, Andy, is it can't get worse, so let's
see,
try
I think it could, I think it could get worse, is
how?
What I'm saying.
I'm
Andy
not saying,
think so.
I'm not
maybe,
saying
maybe
every
a guy,
game, by the way. I don't, like, at
no,
times.
No, I know you
But
not.
There were times when he was, in my opinion, non-competitive. Like, tap out, get him out of here.
Well, he just seemed lost.
But I'll tell you how it could get worse,
lost.
Andy.
So the alternative to me would have been better.
You're going
to
make fun of me, I know, but I'm going to say it anyway. It could get worse because when the guy catches that 15-yard out in front of him, the guy who replaces him could miss the tackle. And all of a sudden, he's running down the field. McCourty doesn't miss tackles.
But I'm saying you're going to replace him with a guy who at least deserves to be in the NFL, who is a top six cornerback.
That's a little harsh.
But like I said, last
I
year.
McCourty deserves to be in the NFL. Come on.
No. I'm
no,
saying.
No, he said who's replacing
him. The guy
him, he's
you're replacing
assume
him
is
with
oh, okay.
is worthy of being on
Did you
a
think
45
last year?
Day game day roster.
Last year, they didn't have those guys. Would you agree?
Well, I thought Moore late in the year was competitive. You think he stinks.
Competitive, I would say yes. I don't think he stinks.
Well, you said you wouldn't replace him.
I don't think
McCourty
he's as good as McCourty. No,
stunk.
I don't think he's
so
as good
I
as
thought McCourty. Does not stink would be better than stink at
I think that what we do is we ignore the plays that Sterling Moore gave up and only focus on the plays that he made. Whereas McCourty,
well, I don't think that's
McCourty true. Every time he made a mistake, and I'm not saying it was unfair with McCourty because he's at a much higher level as a first-round pick than an undrafted rookie last year. But I think that we ignored all the plays that Sterling Moore made, gave up, whereas with McCourty, all we focused on is the plays he gave up.
Well, I agree with you on Moore. Because he was an undrafted practice squad jag, you look for the positive. You focus on the positive.
Yes. I don't think he was that good.
Right. I don't think McCourty was held to first-round standards last year. I think he was held to worst cornerback on the field at times last year.
I don't think the evaluation of McCourty was wrong. And you and I were way ahead of the curve. We talked about it after the Detroit game.
He had a target on his
back. Right here on the post-game show with Adam Jones, you and I talked about McCourty in that Detroit preseason game. Yes.
We talked about
it. We came down here for a short segment and we talked about it. Andy and I were in awe with how many times Matthew Stafford went deep at McCourty in, what, a quarter and a half? Two quarters of play, maybe?
Yeah, they really...
It was amazing to us how often they targeted him.
That was the first
sign. And I remember specifically, we talked about it.
Right after, it was after the Tampa game. We thought everything was great. And then they went to Detroit.
I had them as like the best defensive football.
Then they went to Detroit.
Fred had Gerard Mayo was the defensive player of the year.
Right, and then they went to Detroit.
I was splitting my vote between Carter and Mayo.
Quickly,
Remy, I don't think the evaluation of McCourty was off base.
Remy from Lyon writes,
you would just keep playing him, driving your head into a wall.
I think he's better than the alternatives.
You're like a ram on a mountain.
That's all. I think he's better than the alternatives.
What are you doing?
Pulling
you guys apart.
This is what we do. You can't hang with this. Although it is, as she would say, it's hot in here.
Remy from Lyon writes in, I'm back from Daytona Beach. just wanted to hear your thought on Mike Rivera. Just a special teamer who probably won't make the team, or an interesting prospect who might be something down like the line of Dane Fletcher. And by the way, Jackie is pretty good. I'm impressed.
Remy, feel free to tell him that his accent isn't that great.
Wow.
I'm just kidding.
Can
I'm
you
just
do
kidding.
Better?
Do you do accents?
Me? Yeah. I can actually speak a little bit of French. I took it in high school and college.
Eric's like warming up right here.
Stop it.
It's been a while.
Talk dirty to
I don't know.
In French. In French.
If we want to do that, we'll do that later. I'm not going to do that in front of you.
Oh, come on. Do it here.
Derek, what can I say? I can say, I think it's like I went to the beach.
He shook his head. Apparently, that's it. You
can go. Je suis allé à la plage.
In that case, I can speak Chinese.
I was going to say that.
It's happening again. It's girl talk with Fred, with Eric and a girl.
It's unbelievable.
Anyway.
To answer the question,
what was the question?
Mike Rivera got some run yesterday.
So how long are we going here?
I'm not sure that he is any more in the picture. Spikes was out.
Looks
for whatever reason, they decided not to give Dane Fletcher any run. I'm not in love with Dane Fletcher. I know that puts me in the minority. People in the tent were up in arms yesterday. Where's Dane Fletcher? Where's Dane? Like, he's like a lock to be on the field if Brandon Spikes isn't out there. I think he's kind of a jag, and Mike Rivera is probably a little bit less than a jag right now. He's yet to establish himself as an NFL player after being on the practice squad. But, Andy Hart, your thoughts on Mike Rivera?
I think he looks like an NFL middle linebacker.
Like the cut of his jib?
Yeah, I think he has a very good chance of making the 53.
Oh, I don't think he has a shot in hell.
No, I don't either.
But he looks good. So, like, if somebody needs to model some uniforms and they need a middle linebacker, I'd put him in the uniform. If you want him to play, that's a different story.
And that means a lot to Andy, because he's all about appearance.
The package.
Yeah, right.
He's looking for the package.
That's right. All right, well, that's going to be
not as much as Eric.
Because, Fred, it's...
He couldn't let it go.
Fred, it's...
he's always looking for the package.
Fred, he's setting you up!
What?
Jesus.
All right, I was looking to close the show. That's going to be it for this edition of PFW Progress. Now, reminder, programming note, Thursday... There's no show, but it is our first pregame social, so that will start at 5:15 p.m. Eastern time. Right, guys? 5:15 on Thursday is the Dunkin' Donuts pregame social before the Saints game. Those guys will see you then, and I'll be blogging during the game, so join me, won't you?
Adam Jones, big debut Thursday night.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.